Morning.
I'm just waiting for Bill to respond. He's online. So what's going on?
Oh, not much. Just
it's almost 10 o'clock over there.
Yep.
Did you have breakfast?
Sure did.
What'd you make?
Eggs. Just a simple breakfast. Some eggs. Some like self-made hash browns.
Ah. Good stuff.
A little bit of bacon. Yeah, it worked. It was pretty good.
That's Bill.
Hooray.
Hang on. Just shot some yolk on my computer.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's nasty.
You don't want that.
Egg yolk.
How'd he get it on his computer?
I don't know. Maybe he made a sandwich and with egg yolk in it. I don't know. And he bit into it and the yolk just...
Oh, yeah, maybe it was with runny eggs and that happened. I guess. It's still kind of weird.
Ah, yeah, it is bizarre. You there?
Hello.
Does your computer still work after you shot your load on the computer? Is that what you said?
It was just a little bit on it, though.
That's good.
And my yeah.
How'd you get yolk on the computer?
Eating an egg over top of the computer.
No, but how do you... Don't you eat like that kind of egg with the fork?
Or a spoon.
Or a spoon or something?
I mean,
did you put it in a...
You could have guessed.
Well, did you put it in your hand and just started dripping?
I like the feel of it dripping through my fingers as I eat. Don't you like licking the yolk off your fingers when you're done?
You just make Barb vomit in her mouth right now.
Does she not like runny eggs?
Oh, she hates it. I have to come and cook it. Yeah, it's like the sole of a shoe after I done cooking her eggs.
Oh, that's the way eggs. I was talking to Claire about this, and it come to find out that I actually don't like eggs because I don't like them hard boiled or soft boiled. Don't like deviled eggs. I don't like them runny or like I can't do sunny side up. I like them scrambled or like an omelet. And that's it.
That's it.
That's the entire way I can eat an egg. I can't do it any other way.
Oh, I like them. See, I cook them on one side, cook them up a little bit, then I flip it over and turn off the heat. So when it comes out, the bottom is just like nicely, slightly toasted.
Over medium?
The inside's all nice and runny.
But how did you put it in a sandwich and bite into it and the yolk was on the computer or what?
Yeah, I got it in an egg muffin.
I could see that happening.
So it's dripping out the bottom or the edges.
Why aren't you at C2E2, my friend?
The what now?
Why aren't you at C2E2?
Because I'm stupid.
I would have left you guys behind. I'm sorry. I said F Geek Brunch, man. I'm at the con.
The reason is not Geek Brunch. I didn't realize that we had tickets to a play today, this afternoon. So
what play?
Pirates of Penzance.
I have never heard of this. Not surprised.
Yeah, it's a classic, like one of those classic musical dudes.
Oh.
Like Steiner.
Like Roger Hammerstein?
Something like that, yeah.
That's the list. That's all I know.
So are you going to go to the con after? I mean, or tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm going to go tomorrow. I figure if I went today, I would have been able to go just... I think it opens like at 10 or whatever, so I would have had to come back like it. I would only be there for a few hours, and it takes me like over an hour to drive there. So it just wouldn't have been... And it costs $20 to park, so...
Oh, goodness.
So I figured for that, it just wasn't worth it. So, but tomorrow I'll be there all day. So I'm going to go there bright and early. As soon as it opens, I'll be there.
Well, Sunday you get the deals at least.
That's right. I'll get all the deals. Less crowds than today, probably.
Yeah. You just might not see all the people.
Hopefully they'll be there in the morning.
Yeah.
I figure people aren't people usually head back, if they're heading back on Sunday, like midday, hopefully they'll be there for at least part of the Sunday show.
Man, I got the con itch, man.
Ready?
Yeah, I'm scratching right now.
What's your next one?
Well, I'm going next week to a Comic Fest, but that is so tiny. It's like, I don't know, 1500.
Isn't there a new one in Denver or something this year?
Yeah, that's later. That's later in June, I think. So, yeah, it's going to be my first one, but it's not the biggest. It's not my favorite. I mean, I get to see people I know.
Is it the horror one?
This one's the one that's really big on the sci-fi, in other words. Okay, they have like a bunch of Starfest is what it's called. Right. And part of Starfest is Comic Fest, which is in a different hotel. And I don't usually go to Starfest just because it's so damn expensive. And there's no comics, so what's the purpose?
I think it'd be cool to go, but yeah, if it's expensive.
Well, if you go into the lobby, it's cool because you get to see all the costumes and stuff. But you know, most of the stars, you have to pay an arm and a leg to even get a photo with them.
Yeah.
So well, I usually just have Barb. I'm like, sneak up, go up there quick. Picture.
One of the ones where you're standing there and they're like small over your shoulder.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. My famous Stan Lee.
You're walking by quickly.
Yeah.
You're
Stop
a blur.
It!
A blurry mic in front of Stan Lee.
Yeah.
You got to use that as like your profile pic somewhere. Everyone does that. Their pic with Stan Lee.
Yeah. I should.
How much does his cost again? Is it like $100 to get a picture with him?
I don't know. It's pretty expensive. He was at Baltimore, I think, the last time we went. And I didn't even consider it. Plus, the line was like fucking... I mean, you have to wait like forever.
Yeah.
And the line was all the way around the building. Which is cool because it is a memento that, you know, you'll always have, but...
I guess.
If it was Jack Kirby, I would wait around the building. I wouldn't even... I'd be the first in line. What the heck? Just lost you guys for a split second.
Oh, no. What happened?
I don't know. I lost sound.
Are we there?
Yeah.
Can you just not hear us? Oh, you can hear us. Can you hear Bill?
I can hear Bill, yeah.
I couldn't hear you guys either. Unless you... Sure. I figured you just didn't enjoy my hilarious joke.
The crickets were chirping.
I don't even think I heard your joke.
And I was like, damn, guys.
Didn't even acknowledge your presence.
We'll see if it comes in the recording. That would be funny.
So you've been gone away a while, way, Bill.
No doubt, I've been absent for months.
Yeah.
Months.
You've been saving lives in the elevator shafts.
Mm-hmm.
You're teaching your son to do it. You're like raising him to.
It's not easy being a hero. These comic books make it seem so easy.
Yeah.
It's constant work. Constant.
Especially when you wait for something to happen. I mean, what's the probability that an elevator is going to get stuck?
And I have to be
just
in the elevator.
Wait. With your elevator walking.
Every time so imagine it, though. Every time I'm in an elevator, I'm working. I can't relax like you people in an elevator.
Yeah.
On the job.
You're examining the situation.
My senses are like maxed out.
Elevator sense.
I'm listening to every creak, every ping.
Yeah, you're looking around the room saying, who's going to panic first?
Right, assessing the other passengers, determining my best path of safety.
In the case of our elevator incident, I was the one that was panicking. I was
trying. I had to push you out of the way.
I was like, what the hell's going to happen?
I pushed some other, I don't know who, I pushed some other dude out of the way.
Yeah.
Stand clear. I've got this.
So you're going to stay at the, what do you call it again? The loft?
Probably.
That's good because there's an elevator. There's two elevators in that thing.
I assume they all have elevators.
Yeah, but this has two. You have to go up to your room, and then you have an elevator to get to the hotel.
Oh, that's right. The double elevator. Yeah, I love it. The more elevators, the better. There was three, but... Yeah, we'll probably stay there.
Wonder who your arch nemesis will be.
The asshole who doesn't do the maintenance on the elevators.
the hotel that doesn't get their annual maintenance done.
Yeah.
Yeah. The corporate entity, the kingpin of hotels. It's like, I'm not going to get these inspected.
Pays off the inspectors.
Like Otis calls up and says, hey guys, we need you guys to get this done. And they're like, no. We won't have you fix our elevators. We're trying to trap Bill.
Yes, so I was away. And so I was all looking forward to listening to Geek Brunch on my drive back from Florida. You guys give me like 20 minutes. Like, that's it. It was still another 18 hours to drive.
It's just short and sweet. It's to the point. Hey, at least we got one out.
Yep.
I'm finally getting over my cold, so I can't talk too long. I mean, before I was having trouble talking without going,
how long have you had a cold for?
Man, I had it forever.
Like 2 months.
Then I had the asthma flare up afterwards, and I'm finally starting to get out of that funk.
Mike's been dead forever.
Yeah. I've been on the oxygen. Well, I think it's a combination of, I got the flu, right? And then I had to deal with the after effect of the flu, and then my asthma flared up. Okay. And then the pollen count just increased, so it didn't make things easy on me. So I read Curse of the Pirate Girl, and I liked it. That first issue, or first chapter, whatever you want to call it. And I like the underlying premise, but man, when it got fucking weird, I just couldn't stand it anymore. When they jumped in the mouth of a fucking fish and went underneath the water and there was talking to swordfish and shit like that, I was like, I can't take this anymore.
Too far out there.
And then I started skimming it, and I'm like, well, I'm looking at the pretty pictures, but I can't read this. And then the other thing that kind of bothered me was the lettering, because it's like hand lettered, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I liked it.
I don't remember the lettering specifically.
I have to concentrate to read something. I don't want to read it. His art is amazing. It's not totally in my wheelhouse, but it kind of looked like Humpty Dumpty-ish, or like really detailed Humpty Dumpties, like big heads. And
yeah, they got the big heads.
The big heads and the little arms and then he like draws a lot of lines within it, so it's like really rendered, really detailed, and the backgrounds have a lot more detail than the foreground sometimes.
Yeah, I still don't know how he does it, because he draws so small.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's crazy. I couldn't do it.
Get a sketch of him.
I couldn't do it for many reasons.
So I can appreciate it, but I guess somebody in the back, or I can't remember if it was one of you guys, somebody compared it to Alice in Wonderland, and I never liked Alice in Wonderland, so it goes to show that type of story where it's just, it starts off with some normalcy and then ends up in chaotic weirdness. I just don't get.
You're just not really a fantasy guy.
Oh yeah, I hate the Legend of Jizz, the stuff that
okay. You probably wouldn't like Orcstain.
Oh yeah. Well, Orcstain, I really like the art. Okay, that book, I really like the art and the colors and the way the book stood out. I didn't like reading about zits and pustules and penis hangings, and I just didn't want to read that.
The book is so good. I hope he does more soon.
If he did something else that was Like, I really like the colors and the style of art more so than Curse
doing,
of the
what's Park. He doing? Isn't he doing something coming up? I'm blanking on
Stoko?
It.
Stoko?
I'll find out.
Is that his name?
Yeah,
Stoko. Yeah, I heard his name.
He's doing some, like, Marvel or DC book. Like a one-shot. Or Aliens. Maybe it's Aliens. I don't know. Something like that. So what else did you read?
All right. What did you read? Because we have
I heard a bunch of stuff. I had a lot of stuff. Let's see. So I read. So I finally read Saga, or I didn't finally read it, but I did read Saga number one.
And?
Awesome. I loved it.
Yep.
Mike, did you read it? Because that's fantasy too.
I have it, but I haven't read it. Well, you could make it ultra shit, and just because Fiona Staples is drawing it, I would buy it.
It'll be the same review as the other ones. I love the art, but but the story got too weird.
But I like Brian K. Vaughan. I don't think I've read anything from him that I didn't like.
Yeah.
Mike, this story is so weird.
It's very weird.
Yeah, but it's very... His style of writing is very...
Yeah, he's a good writer.
He's a very good writer. I'm saying that the story is weird.
Well, I'm not saying the other people are not good writers. I'm just saying that his style of writing, I like.
Mm-hmm.
Just the way he puts words together, they work. So it has good chance.
I like the way he puts one word after the other.
Yeah.
Yes, and then he puts punctuation at times to make sure that like I know where to stop a sentence and where to start the next sentence.
They don't go fucking up and down and...
And Mike, I hate to tell you this, but there is some handwriting, hand lettering.
Oh, in it dude, too. The lettering is great.
God dang.
But it's Fiona Staples doing the lettering.
Yeah, it's so good.
Not all the lettering, just you'll see when you read
she
it.
She does the weird stuff. Yeah, it's great.
The voiceover is handwritten.
Well, I'm biased because I met Fiona Staples and I love her, so.
And the art in it is awesome. You know, the one thing I noticed
about that is terribly bad, and I'm going to say, oh, yeah, this is great.
It could happen. The one thing I noticed when I was reading this, I mean, I appreciate her art from the stuff she's done in the past, but I specifically noticed in this is her ability to capture expressions and to give information just from the expressions is crazy.
Mm-hmm. The second one's already out for that one.
Yep.
I haven't got that yet.
Well, you probably didn't order it, did you?
I ordered it.
Really? Damn! How do you...
Wait, I don't know. I think I ordered it.
No, I don't. It's a number two. Come on.
Wait, was it? Is the second issue a number two? Nah, then I probably didn't order it.
It wasn't like Saga 1 or 1-1. Or
1.1. It's 1.1, I thought. Oh, son of a bitch. I don't have to... I think I might have ordered it.
So you got it, Micah?
I did.
You liked it?
I did like it a lot. Like this book.
And so for people who don't know, but I think a lot of people got this because it was a very high seller.
Yeah, I was surprised, actually.
Is this the one that was like number 40 or something?
Well, I think it was like Images. If it wasn't the number one book selling, it was the second one.
For Image?
Yeah.
Okay. But it like was high up in the top 100, which is pretty rare for a
Image.
Extremely rare for a non-Marvel or DC book.
It's not Walking Dead or...
Yeah, Walking Dead is the only other one that does that well. So this is about... It takes place on another planet. And it basically sets up this gigantic adventure. And it seems like it's a very classic story. Is that a good way to put it, Micah?
Yeah, it's very... Yeah.
Because you got the two sides coming together and then going on this battle, like this journey.
It's like there's a big war with two sides, and you have your star-crossed lovers who get together and want to just escape the big war thing. It's like, I don't know, it's this weird cross between like Dungeons and Dragons and a space opera. That's exactly what it is. It was like, yeah.
See, if you told me that, I would say, no, I don't want to read it, but...
But then you say, and it's drawn by Fiona Staples.
Then you say, yeah.
like the description, it's hard to... Like, that's just, like, the basis of it, but, like, what makes it good is the actual story that's happening, like, on... Like, just the generic plot is kind of, like, whatever, but... the characters and what they do, and the dialogue is great.
It sold 37,000 copies. That's really good for almost 38,000. And there were probably like there's a second print, I think, on that too. So.
And there was penis.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's so funny, as we were talking about
a
time traveler's wife, and Bill's like, Keith's was like, there's a naked guy, so Bill will like it. She can't Bill to watch it.
I love how it has become. whenever there's a penis on screen, like, yeah, this is a movie.
Bill would love that.
It's weird though, because every time I see penis on screen, I think of Bill. So it's like during Spartacus, I'm like, hey, there's Bill.
So I read that. I read another image book that was really, really good. The Manhattan Projects, which is the new Jonathan Hickman book, with art by Nick Patara. It takes place back when, I don't know if they say what year it was in my history. Oh, 1942. So when they're doing the Manhattan Project, and the premise is that the Manhattan Project was not the only thing they were working on at the time. That was kind of a cover, and they have more experiments they were working on to do with, I don't even remember what he said, all kinds of weird stuff like pan-dimensional space travel, and they have like all these aliens and artifacts, and it looks like some stuff from Atlantis. So it's kind of that the Manhattan Project was that we know was kind of the outer shell that people could see, but underneath there's all this other stuff going on. And it stars, what's his name? Oppenheimer. Is that his name?
Yeah. One of the creators of the atomic bomb.
Yeah. The scientist, and tells his story of him and his twin brother. And then it gets really weird, where this so we're at war with Japan, and they send all these like ninja robots into the building with the scientists, and then they have to like kill them all and stuff, and there's this big battle. It was really good. I really enjoyed it. I think Hickman's stuff, I think I usually like it. Occasionally some of his stuff I haven't been too hot on, but this is a really good first issue. I'm looking forward to reading this one. So I recommend that one. It was good.
I didn't get that one, but that one sounds more in my wheelhouse.
Yeah, I think you'd like it. If you like Hickman, then it's one of his better works, I think. Now I'm looking through my pile to see if there's anything else good that jumps out, or if...
Are you up on Glory?
Yes, I did read I think I read the late... I read the second issue of Glory.
Okay, the third one's out too. No,
okay.
There's also
I didn't read
25.
So. I have not read the third one. I loved the second one, though.
The third one's really good as well. Even though now I officially have no idea what's going on.
I understood the second... Oh, here's the second one right here.
Yeah, like, no, it's understandable. It's just, like... It's almost like a non... Like, the story in the third issue is kind of a non sequitur. It ties in. I mean, it totally ties in. It just...
Is it in the past or something?
In the future.
Oh, in the future.
Yeah, it's completely, like, a non sequitur. And it's supposed to... I mean, I know what it's doing. It's laying out what's going to happen in the upcoming issues and so forth, but... Like, it's well written, it's good, it's not a bad issue. I like the issue. It's just like, oh, now I'm confused.
I'm becoming not a fan of the backwards, forwards, forwards, backwards, middle, current, you know? it seems like there's a slew of comic books right now that can't tell a story from beginning to end without flashing forward, flashing back.
It's all non-linear now.
Well, this one, I will say this. This is actually, it's a linear story.
Just in the future.
The future part of it is, I can't say too much. It'll spoil part of it, but like,
So it's not jumping around?
It's not jumping around. No, it's telling, like, the future part of the story.
So they just reveal something in the future that you need to know?
Yeah, it's like, you need to know this so you can tell, so you know why, we're going to go through what we're going to go through next kind of a deal. It's not confusing in that. I guess the only thing that's confusing is that now I don't know where the story is going anymore.
So it changed up where you expected the story to go.
Yeah. Hmm. And so now I'm just confused as to where we're going to head to next. Maybe confused is the wrong word. Like, I'm intrigued. But yeah, it's not all over the place. It doesn't feel hectic or frantic.
I did read something that was hectic and frantic and hard to understand.
I did too.
Jumped around it.
Same thing. Well,
okay. What was yours?
Well, I don't know if it jumped a lot, but it was Rebel Blood #1.
That's the one.
And it was so fucking confusing. If you read the premise of the book, it's right in me and Bill like this kind of thing. It's post-apocalyptic, the end of the world type story. And I read it and I'm like, what the fuck just happened? Son of a bitch.
Pretty much.
There's animal people. I mean, I'm going to continue with it because I'm hoping that
you're a braver soul than I am.
Well, it's only 4 issues, and it's post-apocalyptic, and that's kind of a topic I don't usually give up on. But, man, I don't know. I'm glad that you felt the same way because I was going to ask you what happened. Do you know what I mean? I thought it was just the state of mind I read it in. Like, maybe I didn't have
a little too tired or something.
Yeah, maybe I read it before bed and it was a long day at work and it was the wrong book to read. But, man, it's good to hear. Well, it's not good to hear.
It's good to hear that I wasn't the only one that had no idea what happened.
One that said, man, this book is, like, really confusing.
Yeah, I actually read it again. I read it a second time to see if I could. Because I was frustrated when I finished it because I'm like, I didn't understand the thing at all.
Well, I almost did the same thing, Bill. I almost said, should I read it again? And I'm like, I got other stuff to read. Fuck this.
So I think what was happening, it's told like a completely nonlinear style. Like it starts with him in the woods and then it jumps to him.
His backstory.
Yeah, his backstory, but then it also jumps to in between the two.
But I didn't even understand his backstory. I remember his wife was leaving him, right? For some reason.
Yeah, well, because he was a fireman.
Yeah. Oh, he had a bad experience where he fell off a building or something.
Right, he fell off a building, and they don't know if he intentionally did it or not to get insurance money because they were broke. So that part was cool. But then it gets really confusing because what it looks like they're doing is he's remembering back to, and I guess I could spoil it since it doesn't really, we're not really selling the.
It's almost 2 months. It's been out. I think I read that a long time ago. I was going to ask. The only reason that I was going to bring it up was because I like to brainstorm with people if I don't understand something to see if I miss something. So just keep talking because I'm following you.
See if you agree. Okay.
Yeah.
So my interpretation was he's remembering back to the moment when it looks like his wife and kid got attacked by these post-apocalyptic zombie creatures. And he's playing it back in his mind under different scenarios, like ones where he saved them and then another one where it wasn't really a monster, it was something else.
Well, I didn't get that. I only read it once, so maybe I'll buy into that.
that was my interpretation. Well, he kept flashing back to it, and every situation it was different. Like the first time he shot the monsters.
So are we talking
and then the next time he walked in after the attack.
The art was nice.
I am confused.
But he keeps jumping back to the story and then I don't know, maybe he's not imagining it different ways, but I don't know if he's remembering what happened or if he's I'm trying to imagine what could have happened that he wanted to happen.
Is he like an unreliable narrator, or is he something different?
No, I think I think he's just having regrets, so he's trying to imagine. He's trying to figure it all out. I mean, he's stuck in this world where everything's going crazy.
Including the author of the story. No, I think he's got a vision in his head. I'll give him credit. Where that's why I'm going to keep reading it, because I think he's got something. I just can't tell what the fuck is going on. I think it's a little pretentious. It's almost like watching Cupcake Wars, and you got that French guy going,
in the cupcake.
I don't know. I might change my mind. There have been series where I almost, like, I didn't order it or whatever. I tried it, and I'm like, I'll give up on this shit. And I get two more issues, and I'm like, I have the issue. I'm not going to just leave it. I'm going to read it.
You got to read it.
I'm going to read it because I pre-ordered two more, and even though I stopped it, and I'm like, fuck, this is awesome. So then I have to go back on eBay or find the damn books, and and I get sucked into the world again. So I don't think, though, I think in the way comics cost, if you don't have the luxury of spending a lot on this crazy hobby, then yeah, one, if it doesn't satisfy you, it should satisfy you. That every issue should be satisfactory to or drop it. But when you can afford to read the big picture, sometimes, you know, 2-3 issues is usually what my cutoff point is.
Yeah,
like it's weird though with indie books, because there's always that fear that, like, they put that pressure on you, like, if you don't buy it, it's your fault if it doesn't. Like, oh, like, not really, but like, I'm always afraid to buy a new one because what if it's awful? And then, but so I want to wait to see it finished, like I can tell if it's good or not.
But then
you wait, and then you can't find any copies of it, and it doesn't actually exist anymore, or like each copy costs like $17 an issue now, and like that's not fun.
Yeah, with Image, that's the case. Well, you'll always get a trade usually if they ever finish it, right?
Yeah.
So that's,
yeah, they'll do a trade.
That's your hope, but you know, sometimes they don't even finish it. You get to 3, and then it just vanishes. You never know. But Image, they low print their books. I mean, they don't sell a lot, so we're talking about books that are in. Sometimes this type of book's probably in the 3,000s.
Yeah.
That's not a lot of books.
Yeah, that one probably wasn't. So I don't know if he said that the art was by Riley Rossimo, who does Proof and other things.
Little so, dark in this one.
I'm guessing it's really gruesome.
It is, but in a abstract way.
Yeah.
Green Wake, that's the other one he does, right?
Yeah, I gave up on that one. That got too weird with the frogs and shit. I don't know.
I read the first trade of that. It was okay.
I don't know if I still have 2 issues of that, so it could
could get better.
It could pull you in.
Suck me in, yeah.
And then you have to go find the rest of it.
Yeah.
You know, Rebel Blood seemed to me, it read almost like it was supposed to be a movie where you have, like, you're flashing back to the past and an imaginary past and what-if situations.
But it didn't work good in the medium.
Yeah, it was very hard to read in comic book form.
Amen, brother.
I wonder if this is a situation where, like, a different editor might have gone and said, there's a different way to do this. Or maybe if... I wonder if it would have been better if the entire thing was already written and drawn out. And he could have looked at the whole and been like, this actually doesn't work as a single issue, and move pieces of it around to make it more easily accessible, or at least have the first issue be something that you can easily get yourself into more, you know? Like,
you know, another way to do it could have been to have a different artist do the flashback scenes. So maybe, they were like,
or at least a different inker, right?
Completely distinct from the, because I've seen that done before. Where the
that works well, or the colorist is able to at least lightly color it or make it look
change the coloring, change your inker, something that is super obvious to you that you go, all right, I know exactly what's going on here.
I didn't even get what Bill got though. Like, I followed him up until the point where he said there's multiple flashbacks and he's remembering this. Well,
because in some parts the wife was dead, some she was still alive.
Is it like Rashomon? He's telling the same story 12 times.
No, because it's it's just a scene that he's seeing over and over again. I don't know. That's what it seemed to me. I could be completely wrong.
This could be our what that movie was called, Satan's Penis or whatever that Bill what?
Antichrist?
Antichrist, yeah. That one it was like issue one of this where it was all over the fucking place, and then man, it stabilized at the end where I was like, wow, this is a pretty cool movie.
You know, that's another Criterion collection now.
Hmm?
You can buy the Criterion collection of that movie now.
Oh, yeah? I don't think I'm going to ever watch that again. Maybe I'll fast forward to the last 10 minutes and watch it again. And once we have the penis getting hammered, that's interesting. She's crushing his penis.
You know what? I've still never seen that scene. I always don't watch it.
Oh, jump past that?
Yep.
It's something.
Every time.
It's something like you watch
it. I know what happens here.
Oh, they're actually showing that, aren't they?
Yeah, like they're gonna keep doing that. I'm good.
I also read another one that was really good, and so sticking with the post-apocalyptic zombie theme, the new Deadwardians from Vertigo, number one by Dan Abnett in I.N.J. Culbard. So this is, it takes place in the 1900s in London, and the high concept for this is that half of London are zombies, and they've zoned them off into Zone B, and then everyone else lives in Zone A, and they have come up with a kind of a cure for this zombieism, and they don't call them zombies, they call them... I guess Deadwardians is what they call them, right? And the whole story... So there's this main character who is... Well, I guess it's not really a spoiler because it shows it on the cover. He's a vampire. So, and he is investigating... By the end, the premise of the story is that he's going to be investigating this murder of... Another vampire world where half the people are zombies in this Zone B. You guys there?
I got silence for a good.
No, I
got silence for a good 30 seconds though. That's weird. What is going on?
I don't know. That's.
So did you read this, Mike? You read the preview, right?
No, I read the preview, so I got the premise of it, and I have it because. At DCBS, they have the four Vertigos for 75% off. See, it's, you're really getting all four Vertigo titles for one price of one. So it's kind of insane to turn it down. So, yeah, I got it, but it's the only one of the four I haven't read yet.
Okay. It was really good. I read parts of the other ones. I haven't read... all of the other ones, but I think this will probably be my favorite of all of them. And the art is... I really like the art, too. It's almost... I was trying to figure out who it looks like. It's almost like a simpler Guy Davis. Like a simpler Guy Davis.
Like Allard, or Michael Allard, the madman guy.
Allred. I didn't really get that much, but I guess it...
The faces and stuff kind of did.
And it's almost got a... What's that one dude's name? Like Franco Vila or whatever his name is?
Oh, yeah.
Similar to that, but only in feel, I guess. But that might just be because it's like takes place in the 1900s, too. But I really liked the art, so I'm really into that one. I'll be reading that one for sure.
My favorite so far is the Saucer Country. I really, really like that one.
Did I read that one?
My least favorite is the Fables or Fairest so far. And kind of the voodoo one fell in the middle somewhere.
I didn't read the... I started to read the Fairest one, but I wanted to find out when it takes place in the Fables order so I can make sure...
I think you could just read it.
I know you can, but I'd rather read it.
You're never going to get caught up on Fables. Come on. What the hell are you talking about? What are you on, trade 5? Come on.
Oh, I'm like on 6.
Is Stable still going on?
Yes.
Good God. Yeah, how many issues are they up to now?
14. Trade 14, I think, or something like that. Barb is...
15. They got trade... Yeah, 15 was the last trade.
Barb is all caught up on that in DMZ. Those are the ones she, like, reads. Are they here? And then as soon as I open my box, and she...
They get red.
Oh, wait, no, guys. I think 17 is out. 17? No, 17 comes out in July.
So 16 might be out now.
They're up to 16.
Yep, there's a lot of them.
Yeah, I'm done.
So, I want to find out when this story takes place in the Fables order, and then see how close I am to that point. I would like to read it up to that point in Fables, and then read this.
Well, according to the people that read Fables, I'm just talking to like Bob Breetal, and they read it monthly. This doesn't have anything to do with the other ongoing.
I know. Yeah. Okay.
In fact, they were disappointed. But.
So that's why I haven't read it yet, but I may just give in.
They are supposed to focus on the princesses, and there weren't any princesses until the end.
Spoiler.
Yeah.
So I didn't read that. I did read Saucer Country. And I liked it, but I don't think I was crazy about it.
Oh, I loved it. It was awesome. It was politics and aliens, and she was captured by aliens and thought her husband was beating her, and it was awesome. I really dug it.
And I started to read the Voodoo one, but it was late last night, and I gave up on it because my brain wasn't in the right place, I guess.
Yeah, that's sometimes you have to ask yourself that question. So before bed, I'm going to read stuff that's straightforward, I think. I can't concentrate before bed. I have to read something straight.
Yeah. And I should have known, when you read like the first couple caption boxes, and then you read them again, and then read them again.
Yeah.
Then you know it's time to stop reading.
Yeah. There's been a couple comics I've read, and I don't remember anything about them because right before bed, I'm like, what the hell happened?
It's always sad when that happens.
Yeah. My best frame of mind for comic reading is about 3 a.m. My mind is open, and I'm like, why can't I sleep? And then I read myself to sleep. What else you got?
Here's one that neither of you guys read. Ted McKeever's Mondo. Man, I got a lot of Image books.
I read that. What do you mean I didn't read it?
You read that?
I'm just kidding.
I didn't think so.
What is this book?
It's a magazine style thing, isn't it? A huge book?
It's Golden Age size. This is so Ted McKeever's done a bunch of stuff. He's been around since the 80s. He did like, I can't remember what his first one was. Eddie Current, maybe. No, there's some, Transit might have been his first. Then he had Eddie Current. Then he had, what was that other one called?
You're asking the wrong people.
I'm going to find it on my shelf. Where'd it go? Name? Ted McKeever. He did a lot. He used to do stuff for, he did some Epic stuff. I can't remember what comic book.
Any relation to Sean McKeever?
No.
Dang.
Now that's somebody I know.
Yeah, I know that guy.
So he's done a bunch of stuff, mostly in the 80s, and then...
An issue of Grimjack.
And he did the art in a couple Eclipsos. And he most recently did a Spider-Man story. I don't remember which...
Oh, I remember that one. Now I know who you're talking about.
I have a couple of his books.
That was the Tangled Web.
Yeah.
Spider-Man Tangled Web. Yep. I remember. As soon as you said Spider-Man, I was like, I know that name from somewhere. Because he's got a weird art style.
Yeah, he did Elseworlds books. so I know this guy as well.
Yeah, and he did a Doctor Strange book not too long ago.
I probably have.
He did that one? The really esoteric, I guess, well, it's Doctor Strange, but like the
Yeah, his art is out there.
I have that too. Who knew?
There you go. So you do know this guy. So this is, and he did one for Image that I haven't read called Metaphor a couple years ago. But anyway, so this is Mondo. This is his new, I think it's just a 3-issue Golden Age format series. $4.99, but it's Golden Age size, and there's, I don't know how many pages, probably 40-something pages in it. So it's, you get your money's worth. So this is a story about this guy who gets pushed around. He kind of looks like a bum, but he does have an apartment. He's very skinny, and he works for, I got a kid at the door. What do you want?
While you're doing that, I'll tell Barb. Hey, Barb, you know that Bill spilled yolk on his computer? In other words, he bit into the egg and yolk spilled out. It's not on the computer.
And then I licked it off.
And then he licked it off. That's how I cleaned it. He likes to lick the yolk off his fingers. That's his favorite part.
Man, like egg drop soup itself just makes me kind of gag a little bit whenever I.
I've tried egg drop, and if I don't think about it, I can eat it. If I see that floating eggy thing, it's cooked egg, but it's like nasty texture. It's
completely cooked. Claire loves the stuff, and it's just one of those things where yeah, like, she loves it.
I can't.
It just that. it just looks like runny egg. It smells like salmonella to me, and so like.
And it's all slimy.
Well, Barb will eat egg drop soup, so I don't get it, because that's like slimy. Yes, it is. It's yolky white stuff floating in there.
It's salmonella in a thing.
It says it's floating salmonella is what it is. Bill likes it fresh. He likes his chicken to be chirping.
I like the egg to be warm. I'm gonna crack it open.
Steaming. You like there to be some feathers.
I've done that. It really is almost no difference. It's really strange.
You had done feathers in your egg?
No, I've had like fresh eggs.
Oh, well, we've had fresh eggs. Our neighbors gave us some.
Yeah, like.
But I psychologically, I have a hard time with fresh egg. Well, they gave us eggs because the chicken got loose in our backyard. I wasn't going to get it. I wasn't going to get it and throw it over the fence. That chicken looked angry. He was walking around. Like, come so, get
it. Yeah, I wouldn't go after a chicken.
That's kind of what chickens do.
The little kid caught the chicken in like 2 seconds. Just
If you have small children, you should definitely let them chase around a chicken. I think it's got weird. Yeah.
But like Barbara's aunts and stuff, they had chickens and we got fresh eggs from them, but as long as I don't know about it. But if it looks brownish and looks like it just came out of ass, I have a hard
time. There's no difference.
I know it isn't.
Well, there is a difference because the ones in the store have been pasteurized, right?
Well, yeah.
Irradiated.
Yeah, irradiate that shit.
Kill the poop bacteria.
I don't want the poop.
The poop's on the outside.
You don't eat the outside, do you?
No. But chances are you could have got poop on it.
Well, just be better at cracking your eggs.
Just you look and find a hole where you can't see any poop, mm-hmm. And then crack it right there.
Just shove your finger through it and let it seep out through the bottom. When I was younger, I tried to do that a few times, and it turns out I'm not that cool. Thing where you like, you ever see someone like
where you blow it out?
Yeah, you put your finger right through the part of the egg, and then the egg can come without like destroying the egg itself. Yeah, it's actually really hard. Apparently,
I've seen where aren't you supposed to like you poke a little hole, like a I don't know, half a centimeter. Hole in one end and then like a pinhole in the other end, and then you blow in the pinhole end.
Oh, you can do that too. Yeah, that
blows it out.
That works. there are a lot of things you can do with eggs, and they're all kind of funny because eggs are weird.
But don't do that with a fresh poop egg.
Because then you'll get salmonella.
Because you'll have some poop on your lips.
And E. coli. And you don't want E. coli. That's bad for you.
Oh, so how did we get there from Mondo? So did you...
I don't know. So the interesting thing is, so Mondo is about this skinny bum-like guy who works in a chicken...
There's a connection.
That's right. He works in a chicken slaughterhouse.
Reals?
Yeah.
Wow.
To full, go full circle.
Full circle.
And it's one where they take the chickens and they put them through this machine that like irradiates them and makes them into giant chickens, like Super Chick. It's called Super Chicken Incorporated.
Oh, like Purdue.
Yeah, so they blow them up to giant size. And this guy has like a crappy life and he hates it and stuff. And he ends up getting sucked into the machine himself and irradiated. And then he turns into this big, humongous guy. And then he starts taking revenge on people for the way they treated him. And it's all done in a crazy style of Ted McKeever.
And you loved it.
And I loved it. And then... So after that happens, this girl comes to town, and we don't know much about her other than some guy like starts to hit on her, and she takes revenge on him. So she's this badass chick on roller skates.
That sounds interesting.
It was really good. I really, really liked it. The art was awesome. I mean, it's out there, but it was really well done, and the art was just beautiful.
I like badass chicks on roller skates. Like Dazzler.
So I really enjoy that one. I'm liking that series so far.
Will it ever finish? I haven't seen that guy solicited anymore.
Yeah, they actually solicited the trade.
Oh.
I think the trade is in this month's.
How many issues is it? Two?
Just three.
Oh.
It's three of the Golden Age size, so...
Is the trade going to be giant as well?
I imagine.
I mean,
King City one was big, right?
Yeah.
So and they did that in the Golden Age size, so I think it's fine. And now, of course, I'm getting the three issues, and I'm debating whether I want the trade or not, because the trade has like extras and stuff in it.
Hmm.
So I'm like, hmm. But I'm enjoying it. Hey, did you see, speaking of previews, Mike, are you getting Harbinger?
Hell yeah.
I don't think I will be getting Harbinger.
All you have to do is say Valiant, and it just automatic check.
Automatically appears check. On his order.
Check.
So but is it going to be good?
Yeah.
It's Laugh-Em. How could it not be good? I was just reading Sparta USA and there's Nazi footballs. I'm like, what the hell's going on in this? But I like it.
I don't know what's going on, but I like it.
It's been like, what, almost 20 years?
What's been 20 years? Oh, Valiant? Oh,
10 years. 10 or 15 years, right? Since the last issue of Harbinger.
Man, it's been...
This is a reboot, right?
Yeah. It starts. It's the same character, and you know Peter, and then Harada is the evil bad guy. But it's like starting over. It's not like continuing.
And they got amazing teams, creative teams.
I hope it makes it because new companies today. It's just phew.
Rough.
They just don't have much of a chance.
They show up for 5 minutes and get out.
You figure there's got to be at least, I don't know, there's people like you and I, Mike, who are collecting back then and loved Valiant back in the day and are still collecting, who, I mean, there's no way we can't get it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You guys will get it.
So you got that built-in audience.
Someone who read, like, two issues of Exo Man and War and, like, three issues of Archer and Armstrong.
It was a weird time for me because you had Image, which was, like, this... artwork that was like at the time awesome. And then you had like this not so popular artwork, but awesome storytelling.
Yeah.
And I'm always been more of the story guy. In other words, I could deal with the art. I can't deal with the story. That's why I'm struggling with Cursed Pirate Girl, because the art is good and I can appreciate it, but the story is just I just can't get into it. And I was into it because the overall story is kind of interesting. Like, I liked the fact that the Cursed Pirate Girl is in searching for her father. She doesn't know who her father is. She knows he's a pirate. At least she thinks he's a pirate. And she starts hanging out with that little rich girl who's like the daughter to the governor or whatever. I can't remember if he's governor or mayor or whatever. But I like that part, and I like the relationship, how don't ever hang out with the cursed pirate girl and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I like that he was like, I don't want that cursed pirate girl hanging out with my daughter. So he hires some henchmen to go mess with her, and then all hell breaks loose. Like, I was like, hey, this is a good story. I'm understanding it. And then there's the fish, and they're going underwater, and all of a sudden she could breathe. And I was like, and then she's got a parrot. And what the hell just happened, my lord?
I need to read that again.
Yeah, I still have to read it. I haven't read it through, like, all in one sitting yet.
Well, how much have you read? The first issue? Because of the first issue, I bought off on it.
That no, I read good. It, but I read it in single issues that came out like once a year.
Yeah, like I have the trade. I bought the trade from the dude at Heroes last year. I have all three regular issues, but I haven't read it.
That's how I am. I haven't read it all together in one sitting yet. So
I'm gonna do that and see how it works. Because I remember really liking it, but it has been a while since I read it.
So, interesting enough, how much did that Mondo run you? What was the cover price on that?
$4.99.
So, they have it on $2.99, Comixology. Of course, you won't get the paper experience of the Golden Age, but...
Eh, whatever.
You have to do more scrolling.
I'll give it a
go. The art doesn't look...
The art was beautiful.
It looks pretty good.
I can read it on my TV.
I'm just seeing the sample. It's black and white, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and his art, I mean, it's out there in terms of stylistically, but it's not out there in terms of being able to understand what's going on in each panel. I mean, he's a very good sequential artist.
Do you have issue 2?
Nope, not yet.
I don't think it's out yet, because I think Image is releasing day and day digital. At least on most of their stuff, they are. They only have issue 1 out now.
Yeah, I don't know if the second one is shipped yet.
Maybe it's next week.
The thing here's what I'm loving about the indie publishers, especially Dynamite, because even though I still struggle with digital, even though I have an iPad. I don't know what it is. It's the paper. I like paper.
I understand.
It's paper. Different. It's completely different.
It's a different reading experience.
That's what it is. I get more, like, I get the story and I enjoy the story, but the experience is different.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know I don't know exactly what it is, but I feel like when I buy a book and I have the paper thing, I feel like it's worth whatever money I feel like I spend on it. But digital stuff, I still don't feel like there's always as much value to it yet. Like, I haven't. Yeah. Been able to move myself to the world where I understand that the content is what you're paying for to an extent, and so like you give money because the content you're getting is good, but like in my head it's still the idea that like I'm paying for this physical product that has the content on it, and so
yeah, it's like there's a psychological aspect to it.
Yeah, like I buy even a book and I get a book.
Digitally even has its own benefit, because like I could put it on my phone, I could put it on my iPad, I could read it on the computer.
But it has one big. But
then you psychologically have this thing that I work on a computer all day, so why the fuck would I want to read something on a computer?
I will say this: there's a couple of good advantages to digital. Like, well, my computer is to my television. That's my desktop at home is, and so because mostly what I use my desktop for is like either playing games or watching videos, and so. I can read comics on my TV, and that's an awesome experience for some stuff, like something like Saga. It's really cool to see it on the
How do you read it on your TV? Like sitting on your sofa?
Yeah.
It's a Comixology app for your TV.
Does it show one panel at a time or the whole page?
No. Whatever way you want it. My computer has an HDMI thing, so I hooked the computer right up to the television.
I understand how you're doing it. I'm just trying to get a grasp of the experience.
Well, you can either do full page or you can do it a couple different ways. Like there's a full page, there's like a panel by panel thing that Comixology has too. So you can have the one panel on the entire, taking up like the entire screen. Or you can do it where like it fits to either height or width. I'll take some screenshots maybe and put them online. But like you can do it height or width. Like stretch it all the way out so you'll have the entire width of your TV be the panel, and you have to scroll up and down to read it that way.
Right.
Like, there's a couple different ways, and it's just neat because you can see the artwork super big. I don't do it all the time, but for some things, like surprisingly, it works better for like simple stuff, like big like things with big panels and big characters on the screen. It kind of works really well for that. It's real easy to sit back. But then for some of the like more intricate stuff, you can kind of get in there and look at it a little easier from far away. It's just a neat experience.
The thing I do like about digital is if I miss an issue, chances are with the current stuff, it's out there, and I could just go download, finish the story.
That's the best thing.
That's the best thing. It's on demand. And then like the thing that's great with Dynamite, because I did miss some Red Sonja, and I love me some Red Sonja, is I could download it, and then if it's not the most current, I get it for $1.99. So the cover price is $3.99. So I just saved $2. I mean,
yeah.
Yes, it's digital, but
like there's one. The only downside to digital is the it's the fact that like Comixology is a big thing now, right? And hopefully they don't ever go away. But like if you bought something on Graphically, like Graphically is done doing that shit now. Like they're out, and so.
But I heard that you could still get your books off.
You can still get your books. Yeah, you can still read your books, but now. Like going forward into the future, if you bought books off Graphically, like say you bought a series on Graphically and the series is still continuing, but like now you have to move over to Comixology and you don't have the entire, there's no way to move your books from one thing to another, right? Like, yeah. I don't have, like when I buy a physical book, like that shit is mine. And there's like a company can't go out of business and take my books away from me or make it hard for me to go read that book.
I think that with Marvel and DC, you're pretty safe. Like, if Comixology, they probably signed some agreement that says, "Hey, if we lose you, we'll still have access to our customer list and, you know, server farm or something like that."
Yeah, like those guys. And I'm sure Comixology isn't going anywhere, but there's always that fear of like formats changing or something weird happening with, because digital stuff can sometimes be strange, and so. Or you end up with that weird Kindle issue where
you might end up with issues. You might end up with issues with the smaller publishers.
Like I was wondering, right? Like, let's say Disney decided they really wanted to crush Dynamite for this John Carter stuff. Because there have been issues before with in the book world where some copyright issue got weird, and then you would loot, like, the companies would want to go in there and actually remove the books from the stores. I wonder if Disney could have gone through the Comixology if they had decided to actually sue and get rid of all this stuff. And they could have gone and said, "All right, all the Dynamite books that are on there, they're out now because of a lawsuit or something like that." If that's possible. Like if a company can go, like if a company gets sued or something like that, if all the books you bought could then be like taken away just because, like, no thanks. Because it's happened before in books.
That's
like Amazon has sold books in the Kindle store, and then something weird happened with the copyright issues. And, I mean, you got a refund, but they took the books back. Like, the books were no longer in your possession anymore because something weird because of some lawsuit over who actually owns the rights to it. So, I mean, I hope that doesn't ever happen with comics, but it's possible. And, you know.
If you are on Twitter and you follow 11 O'Clock Comics, I'm jealous because Vince is taking a picture with my man, Tom Scioli.
You've seen Tom Scioli before.
I know, but damn it, I'm not there. there.
You're gonna see him like in a couple months. You go take a picture of him.
Vince looks good. He looks like he lost about 40 pounds.
Man, I still haven't got that Tom Scioli book. I'm waiting.
What's going on with that? Because Vince has it already. He didn't buy it through the comic distributor, but he bought it through like the publisher or.
Oh, from yeah.
Yeah, American Barbarian.
From Madhouse or whatever.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. What's going on?
I don't know. It hasn't shipped yet.
Very upset.
Oh, indie comics.
I don't know. I know. Me too. I'm gonna read that as soon as I get it. I'm reading it.
Yeah, it's because it's not. It's a number one. It's the whole thing. Bill has a page.
I do have a page.
On Amazon. Well, not yet.
It's not. It hasn't shipped yet.
Comes out Tuesday on Amazon.
Oh, Tuesday. Okay.
Well, somehow Vince had a. He must. Well, like, I think the publisher like or something.
The publisher is probably shipping it already, but just
maybe
the,
they ship stores, and so he just probably just shipped out his as well.
Yeah, the distributors are probably just slower to get it out.
Right.
Yeah, I went to weekly shipping there for a while, and I miss it already because now I'm biweekly again, and I'm like,
oh no,
man, you spoil yourself. You know what I mean? You get used to something, and then he's like, I don't miss my box.
That'd be too much pressure for me, weekly. Like, no, I haven't.
Yeah, you get a really tiny box. There's only two number ones this week. Damn. Oh, but week four had 10 number ones.
Man, I've been getting a lot of more single issues lately than trades. It's weird.
Psychologically, I don't like trades. I don't know. It's freaking weird. I got a lot of problems, man.
Mike is so old. He only does paper, and he only does like single floppy issues. He cannot handle anything else in his comics.
I don't get it. It's bizarre. But I do like the digital format, and I think Barb likes it because it saves. She's got a bed.
Yeah, my wife desperately wants me to switch to digital.
Poor Barb.
I'm pretty much there. I think
over the house, man. There's comics everywhere.
Like, I'm all digital except for things that get mailed to me because I'm old school like that, or like trades, or not even trades anymore. I need big hardcover things.
I did get a hardcover recently because it was Nick Spencer Ultimate X-Men, and my comic shop has been buying like. Trades lately, which they never did before, and hardcovers. And I guess he gets such a good bargain on certain trades, you know, like if you buy so many or whatever, that he sells them for half off at, you know, which is pretty weird for a brick and mortar store to sell them. But when you add up all the prices, it's got six issues, and the cost of an Ultimate comic is $4 each, and it's $25 hardcover, and I got it for half of that, $12.50. So that was a really good deal, my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Have you read it yet?
No. I hope I like it.
This is the new series, the new one, right?
Yes. And this is the way I feel about Nick Spencer is kind of falling into my Warren Ellis mode. In other words, when he's handling properties that are his own, I freaking love. Like, mm-hmm. It's like I get into his worlds and whatever, but when he's like doing like Secret Avengers or other stuff, I'm okay with it.
I'm not a huge fan of this current storyline that's going on at Ultimate X-Men right now. But
was the first six good?
It was all right. Like it was. I don't know. It was just all right to me. I think Ultimate X-Men. I think I'm way done on that. Like I just don't know. They're just not doing it for me. Not as exciting.
I wanted to get the Ultimate Spider-Man hardcover, but he must have sold out of it, so.
You have to pick that up. I don't know if I'll get it in hardcover or just the trades.
I did like Ultimate Spider-Man number one. I read that digitally because they had a 9-cent dealy. I don't like to spend on digital more than $1.99. It just doesn't seem right.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I know that's my thing. But like the it's one of those things where like if the content is good enough, I shouldn't care. But like this is just it's like this thing that doesn't actually exist. So I'm only paying I'm paying to read it, and I'm never going to do anything with it again.
It's because it almost feels like you're renting it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for a rental, you know, a buck, a couple bucks is fine, but
and it's not really that, but psychologically it feels like it. Other words, you could read it anytime you want. Not only that, but I could download it to multiple devices and read it. But I don't give a shit.
I'm not gonna. You read it once, and you're probably done with it.
There's something about the paper. I have a collector mentality too, which is bad, but
you do?
Yeah.
Never knew.
It's almost like it's a hoarding thing. It's
hoarding, but it's hoarding something that's good.
Well, to us it is, but Barb wouldn't mind if I got rid of about 300 long boxes in the basement.
Yeah.
At some point, I struggle with this. Like, your life is only finite. I mean. I think about this a lot, and I don't know if it's because I'm old now. It's like
It's because you've been dead for the past 2 months.
Well, yeah, and I'm like, what?
You've been close to death's door.
I don't know. If something happened to me, I don't want Barb to have to deal with 100 long boxes of comics.
Oh, please. She would say, hey, guys, come over. Anyone who wants Mike's comics, come get them.
Yeah, come to Colorado.
But there are stuff that are valuable. Like I have stuff pre-1970. I have stuff in the 1940s, 1950s, 1960s.
It's like you need somebody trustworthy to go in there and be like, listen, Barb, you take these and sell these off for whatever you can get. Look, and then all this image crap from the 90s you can just toss.
All you need to do, that good stuff, just put a little sticker on it that says bills.
And all the junk, you can give to me because I love junk comics.
All the dime boxes, give it to Micah.
All the stuff that there's 7 million copies of, I'll give to Micah.
Yeah.
The 11 copies of Authority.
Of course. What, Death of Superman? Prime. Another copy of that? Yeah, I'll take that.
This one's unopened.
Yeah.
At some point, I really do want to open up my Valiant boxes because Valiant, when I read it, it was like it took me into a different world. Like, and it was so coupled. It was like almost like if I was born when Marvel released the first Spider-Man. You know?
That's what it felt like.
That's how I felt when Valiant came out, and I was like, man, this world's tightly coupled. And not only is it tightly coupled, but it built a history in the past. It built a history in the future with Magnus and Rye. It was so intertwined that it was like you couldn't miss anything.
Plus, you had Jim Shooter at the head, so it felt like...
Yeah.
And you knew he was from Marvel, so it felt like, you know, it was a real thing.
But even when they got rid of Shooter, I still liked it. It was kind of when they went to Acclaim that it felt like single issues. It felt like the universe...
And those are the only ones I ever had.
It felt like the universe lost its...
What I remember how young I was at that time, too.
What? Acclaim had some gems. They had Quantum and Woody, and I loved Quantum and Woody. It was one of the only comics that you'd open up and laugh your ass off. I mean, it was funny. It was two guys that hated each other, but they were working together with each other.
I have almost a full run of Shadow Man, only because I just opened up a dime box, and what do you know? Like 20 issues of Shadow Man in there.
Well, you know, those acclaimed Shadow Man are rare.
Are they really?
Yeah, they are.
Shits are all up in dime boxes occasionally.
Especially if I forget what it was called. It was like Dead Something or Another featuring Shadow Man. Those are hard to find. But Shadow Man was really good in Acclaim, too. It was really dark, and it was a lot of it took place not in our world, but in the dead world, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was good. XO went to pot, kind of. Magnus went to pot. I don't know. It didn't have the same feel.
The Acclaim years.
Was Turok ever any good?
Turok always stayed good, except Turok kind of went more to a younger version and more of a video game-ish.
Oh, yeah.
Bench type.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Because
Titan
made so much money.
But, like, I haven't even finished reading the latest, what is it called? Dark Horse Revitalization of the Gold Key. I just finished Solar, and it sort of did have the Valiant feel indirectly. I didn't get to finish reading Magnus and Turok, but there's only like 4 issues, so it's not like I'm going to get really embedded in it.
Well, so what is all a part of the new Valiant thing that's coming up?
Well, we got Harbinger. We got Exo Man of War is their first release. Harbinger is their second.
Mm-hmm.
We have Archer and Armstrong, which was my absolute favorite. I mean, it was like the buddy thing that had serious points. I mean, there were serious aspects because Archer's...
Yeah, he was serious.
Asshole. I mean, he was like a religious guy that was... Wasn't he sexually manipulating him or something? It made it sound like it, but it didn't... Valiant did things... But didn't have to show everything. Do you know what I mean? It was like the horror movie that's scary, but it doesn't necessarily have to show the human centipede.
Blood and guts.
Yeah. It doesn't have to go to that extreme. But, man, there was something special. And all the brothers, the travelers. Oh.
Armstrong, who's this eternal guy who just... basically wanted to have fun.
Right, he was the one brother that didn't take anything seriously and drank.
But
he was so loyal to Archer. I mean, the loyalty between the two of them was amazing. And he was loyal to his brothers, too. Of all the brothers, I think I would trust him the most. Even though he was drinking he drank a lot.
Best analogy ever.
Well, they have Time Walker, who was the brother. I think his name was Ivan. He was in the future. And that was a great series. And then you had the Internal Warrior, who would hang out with the little kid, the Geomancer. Is that what they call him?
Mm-hmm.
But, man, his name was Jeff. I remember that. But, man, this is good comics, man. I miss him. Miss him a lot.
First ever page of original art from a comic was a Barry Windsor Smith Archer and Armstrong page.
You have one?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to give it to me?
You know. Do you know what I want for Christmas?
No. I want that. I want that bad.
That was my very first purchase ever of original art.
How much was it? May I ask?
It was either 180 or 200. But now it's worth probably...
Who was in it? Did it have both Archer and Armstrong in the panels? Or was it... What did it have?
I haven't looked at it in a while. I have to pull it up.
The background page, you know.
It didn't even have them in it. It was like...
No, it has both
the street.
It has both Archer and Armstrong. It's a nice page. It's Barry Windsor Smith, man.
Yeah, that's awesome. What a great comic that was. And you could still try to hunt down the hardcover, which has the first 6 issues or so. I can't remember.
Yeah.
I would say to reread that stuff. I really do. Because there was some magic in those books. There really was. And then Shadow Man. Oh,
like all 3 issues of Punks?
Oh, yeah. Punks. That's Keith Giffen. I have those, too. I have a full...
I don't know if I have that. I never read Punks.
And nowadays, Keith Giffen is my god. I mean...
Well, yeah, because OMAC, right? Like,
well, not just the Outsiders and everything he's been drawing is mimic Kirby so much. He went from drawing... In Punks, it was very abstract-looking, straight line, you know? Mm-hmm. Whereas now he's kind of drawing the Kirby... He did have one issue of OMAC where he kind of went back to that, but then he reverted back to the Kirby, which I really like. But I, because of Keith Giffen, I think what he's done lately, I want to go back and read Punk's. And I want to go back and read... What did he do for Image Trex or Trencher? Trencher?
Yeah, Trencher.
Yeah. So, yeah, man, the 90s were good. I don't give a shit what anybody says. They were fun comics, damn it. Everybody says, oh, the comics industry was destroyed. Yeah, because of speculators, but not because of content. There's a lot of good things in the 90s. It was like any other decade.
Yeah,
there's
yeah,
comics every say. Decade. There's every...
Yep, there's always garbage and there's always good stuff. I think the quality nowadays is overall better, though.
I think the production values and stuff. Like, it's weird. Like, I wish we had the number of comics that we had, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago, as far as just, like,
Yeah, the pre
things that sold. It'd
be crazy,
like,
man.
Yeah, like, just the ability, like, just knowing that your books that weren't just Marvel and DC would be able to sustain themselves, like you know, on a regular basis. I feel like, and maybe just this because we only remember the good stuff, but I feel like just looking through old issues, like going through dime and quarter bins, there's a lot of series that went, you know, 50, 60, 70 issues from a lot of different publishers that weren't just Marvel and DC of years back, but
now you nowadays, can't even get a Marvel and DC to go 60
issues. Yeah, now Marvel and DC books can't go that long. But
longest running comic right now is Hellblazer.
Is that true? Wow. Yeah. I guess it is true because everything
that hasn't rebooted.
DC rebooted. So
stopped doing Disney books, which were in the 500 and 600.
But, yeah, like the so, yeah, those ones are.
Yeah, they always usually continue with those. Archie's
been going on forever. Yeah,
they never renumber those.
Well, there's no need to. Because continuity doesn't exist in the Archie universe.
Usually you can read an Archie before bed, and
Archie won't do you wrong.
And it won't do you wrong because you'll end up in a happy state. You're not unless you read the damn divorce one.
All those Archie real life.
That's my question before going to bed. But
the cancer issues.
The cancer issues. Yeah, yeah. Well, Mr. Weatherby's got cancer and is dying, and. He married the life.
Whose idea was that? Like, who was sitting around and was like, you know what Archie needs?
He needs realism. What are those two that decided to open up a comic shop in that?
Yeah, Chuck and Nancy. They bought a comic shop. Like,
and
what?
In today's day. And they're like, like, what the fuck are you
doing? Poor kids.
Do you know it's going digital? Do you know?
Blowing all their money. Life savings.
You know what? We got a great idea. We're going to open up a comic shop. No, that's not a good idea, man. I feel for comic owners right now because I think it's comic shop. I think they got a life. Well, more of the mom and pop shops. Like some of those big shops, they know how to exist with toys and they have multiple things to go to. But there are shops that are going to hurt.
Yeah. You know what I don't get? So when I was growing up in Canada, most of the shops by us were comic book stores / used bookstores.
Yeah.
So like half the stores had used books and then half was a comic store.
Yep.
Yeah.
Those don't exist anymore.
Yeah. I don't know why, because it seems like that's a good fit. Because then you have
really an idea.
That's I actually went back to my first comic shop. It's called Don's Paperback Books. In Albuquerque, and I go with Barbara's. I'm gonna call him stepdad, but you know it's not official. But it's kind of her stepdad. I always go with him because he loves to read novels, and he trade. Mm-hmm. It's a trade. You know, you trade your paperback, you get another trade paperback, and then you pay some
transaction fee.
But they still sell comics. I mean,
that model is great, by the way. I've done that.
They don't have a lot on the shelf, but like if you wanted to, you could pre-order from previews, and they'd pull it for you. That's where all their customers come and get their comics.
Because that way, I mean, yeah, you got it's two separate. What's it called?
Audiences.
Yeah. What's the word for flow, like money flow?
Oh,
flow?
Streams?
Money flow?
Revenue streams.
Revenue streams, yeah.
So you have two separate revenue streams where if one's hurting, like your comics if you can't make a living off the comics, at least you have that backup. Because used books, I mean, that's going to be around forever.
Well, used books is also books. Going digital, too. So.
Well, books are going digital, but the used book market actually is
well, there's the best a collector's market in that, too.
Yeah. People are getting rid of their books.
But paperbacks, yeah, but like, I just go in there and just raid these used bookstores for paperbacks now. You can get they're so cheap.
It seems like every time I'm at Half Price Books, there's tons of people in there.
Yeah, it's people like books. I guess like the big myth is that people don't like physical stuff.
We'll give up on books.
Yeah, like people are books or like comics or anything. Like this, just the thing is, people who like it are gonna like it, and it's as long as it's still cheap and there's more value to it. Like there's more value to my $3 paperback book than there is to the same. If I get that same book on the Kindle, there's more value with my physical one because I can take that book and get 50 cents for it. That goes towards something else. Once I buy the digital one, no matter how cheap it is, that's it. That's the end of the road for that book. Like once you buy it, there's nothing you can do with it ever again. But like even if the book you buy has like very little monetary value, there's still some sort of like physical value to it where you can use it towards something else or, you know, give it to someone. Like there's an idea. Like you can actually give your book to somebody else, and so and it's still like when you're giving away gifts, it's like it's not much less exciting than being like, I bought you a book on the internet, so you have to open up your Nook now and download it because I bought it for you as a gift. Go check your email. So it's a little anticlimactic than letting them open up a book, you know. So.
Yeah, but you can share on those too. Mm-hmm. But you only have a certain time period.
A certain, yeah, like it's not quite the same.
Barb was trying to do that, and nobody was buying off on that.
It's really not really complicated, but it's more complicated than it should. It's more complicated than just handing them the book, and that's the problem. Like with books, I can just hand you a book.
I think there's a psychological barrier for a lot of people too. I really do.
Yeah, and that will be gotten over. And then
I'm getting over it a little bit. I really wish I could in the indie world. And the reason I say that is because $3.99 versus $1.99 is a big savings. Plus, you save space.
Well, I buy all my indie books digitally now. Like I'm so done buying those things in floppy issues because I feel a little bit less bad when I buy an issue of an indie book.
And if you even want to wait
copies of it,
wait a month, you save a lot. I mean, or wait a week sometimes.
Yeah, I just wish that we would get the other big downside to this stuff is there's not as many like really awesome sales on bulk products. Like you get in a store sometimes.
Yeah, the worst digital publisher to me is Marvel.
Marvel can go down the hole.
Marvel can go F themselves right now. Because you to be charging $3.99 for an Ultimate book as a digital copy, you suck. I mean, yeah, sometimes they give you a coupon to go to your comic shop, but that's not what I want. I don't need both types. In other words, I don't need a digital and a paper or a paper and a digital. That's what they're trying to do. That's what I need, one or the other.
Are they trying to transition people? Or
no, right now they don't want to affect the shop, and they don't want to affect the I think they don't want to affect the shop. So by not wanting to affect the shop, they don't lower their prices. Plus, they want to help the shop by saying, if you buy this digital copy of Comixology, I'll give you a coupon for $5 so you could go take it to your comic shop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Get a comic.
The problem is, though, that it's not entirely the same market. And you're killing your digital market because we're like everyone, like it doesn't matter whether it's right or not, but I'm not paying $4 for your damn digital book. Like I don't care how good that shit is. Like I'm just not doing it.
And if so, I absolutely had to, like I would.
Well, you would.
Well, I would if it was like Batman and Robin number 8, and I was like, after the ramifications of number 7, I was like, I gotta read this Damien shit. I just have to, you know.
But like it's just hard. It's a hard thing to get over for a lot of people. And if they were cheaper, Like, it's one of those things where...
So, basically, they don't want people to read digital.
Basically, right now, they don't. Because they're not doing anything to... Like, and I read that Infinite thing or whatever, and...
The PowerPoint slide?
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly what it is. And, like, people, like, comic book shop owners were like, Mark Waid is trying to kill digital... Like, trying to kill... Like, listen, Mark Waid is killing...
So what are you talking about? The what?
City book.
The Infinite. You read
X-Men versus Avengers Infinite... Whatever, it's 99 cents, and what it is a PowerPoint presentation.
History,
the future of digital comics. No, what it is it's like, what if I made a comic direct for digital instead of in the regular paper size? And it, yeah. And what it feels like to me, it felt like a PowerPoint presentation.
So here's how it works: you take your comic book page, like open up any book you have on you right now, right? And you open up your book and you look at it and. What you would get is originally like just the background art first, right? So you would get, if it's a space shot, you'll get stars in space. And then you'll hit the button and you get Nova on the screen. And then you hit a button and you get your first caption. You hit another button and you get your next caption. And another button and you get more art. And then like so forth and so on. So instead of reading the page, instead of like opening the book and looking at the page as it is, you open up the book and you hit a bunch of buttons to lay out the page as it would be.
Instead of turning a page
differently. Yeah, it doesn't actually do anything different. It's showing it to you slower.
It's like clicking on your mouse to make the next slide presentation come through.
Yeah, so like they have cool
transitions. You know how we try to do in the tech world, we try to do these cool PowerPoint presentations?
Yeah.
You know, with the little animations and shit?
Yeah, we're flying.
You know, like, wow, this thing's flying. Wow, check it out. That's what that felt like. And I can see some people were like, wow, this technically is awesome. But for somebody that goes to work and makes PowerPoint slides and presentations. I was like, what the hell? I felt like I was at work.
Yeah. And it's like, it's one of these those weird things. And I don't understand why everybody is upset. Not upset about it, but like, who's excited about this? I don't really get it. And what I was expecting from it was something like in the Harry Potter movies, you know, the newspapers they have in Harry Potter with like the moving stuff. I was expecting something more like that, where there would be like something like a cross between a regular comic and then like the motion comic stuff, where things kind of move on the page. So, like if it was a helicopter on the page, its blades would rotate instead of just having the lines.
Yeah.
Or something like things in that realm is what I was expecting. Instead, what we got was a PowerPoint presentation. It was the same comic book art that you normally get. And the story, I understand why they used a boring story, because they just wanted to show out the technology, but that story was... Nova falls to Earth, done.
It didn't, the story, and that, there you go again, Micah. You know, for me, story matters more.
Yeah.
I was like, why did that need to be told? It was just, they gave you everything in number 0 and 1, that he was struggling and the Phoenix Force was chasing him, and then they just fill it in like... God, I miss hamburgers.
Yeah. Things I like.
I like at Earth.
I like baseball, and I think I like pretty girls. And, man, I can't remember because I'm going so fast. Oh, no. What else is there?
I love to listen to podcasts. I love that Geek Brunch podcast.
Yeah. Oh, God. It was a terrible story. So Bill,
we can't let Earth go away because I miss the podcasting.
Yeah, it's not very good.
People are going to freaking die.
Yeah.
We have a contractor here looking at our roof, so I can't cuss too much. We have a leak.
Oh, no. In your roof? That's not good. Move the comics.
Yeah, those contractors don't like the foul language.
No. They hate it when you swear. That's their job.
Yeah. I swear a lot, man.
I never noticed it until I listened to the show and I hear myself. I go, wow, I think I cursed 12 times in one sentence. I don't ever remember doing that. So, books. Did anyone else read anything else? Or?
You know, I read something that I didn't like, but it's getting a lot of critical acclaim, so I don't know if I really want to...
Do it. What is it? What don't you like?
You might have read it. Maybe you liked it. It's the Jim Henson's Tale of Sand.
No, but what
else? Did you read that?
Yeah.
Did you like it?
No, but... Related.
I'm not alone. Hang on, I gotta close my door.
Oh, because there's like a bad word coming out?
No, because my children are being noisy, even though I told them to sit quietly with their hands on their lap and not talk until the end of the podcast.
Crazy parent.
Jim sit Henson's on your hands.
What is this called? Dust?
No.
Tale shit. Of Sand. This is the Archaea.
Dust.
Sand dust. This is the one. I mean, it's an awesome concept, right? They found, or they didn't find it. Jim Henson wrote a screenplay with another dude that never got turned. They never filmed, so it's this screenplay for this movie that never got made. So they said, "Hey, why don't we turn it into a comic book?" So they made it. So Archaea made it into this nice, beautiful, beautiful hardcover.
Oh, the book is gorgeous.
And Mike's stepping away. So yeah, and the art in it is really good. It's by Ramon Perez, and it's up for a bunch of awards. I can't remember which awards. Eisner's maybe.
I'm sure.
It's up for a bunch of art awards, and I think for best graphic novel and things like that.
Who's the colorist?
What?
Who's the colorist, or was it
I don't know if he did. He do the coloring. I think he just did it. I think he did all the art.
Did all of it because it's really good.
Yeah, I think he did it. There's a dish. It looks like he had some help on it, but he was the primary. Yeah. So my interpretation, it looks great, but there's really no story.
Yeah, it's not. There's not much of a story to it, and maybe this is just my fault. But I saw Jim Henson's name on it, right? And I was expecting... I don't know what I was expecting. More... A little more fantastical, maybe? Not fantastical, I guess, but... Maybe more whimsy? I don't know. It just felt... The whole story felt kind of flat to me as far as... And that might just be my fault, because I saw Jim Henson. I was like, oh, this could be interesting.
Your expectations were...
Yeah. We're in a different place.
Because this is... I mean...
This is kind of standard.
It felt like... It felt like a screenplay that it was a stream of consciousness film.
Yeah.
Right, because it's this dude.
With a giant key.
Yeah, so it's this dude who he's given a map at the beginning of the story and a couple of things like a cigarette and I can't remember what else. And he said, okay, and like the mayor of this town or whatever is like, okay, you got to go. They're coming after you. And he's like,
yeah.
What? He's like, just follow the map, but don't trust the map.
I'm back.
And he takes off. And so I'm telling the premise of this book. So a guy gets a map. Basically, he gets a map and he doesn't know why. And some people are chasing him. And he has to run through the desert to get to whatever his destination is that he doesn't know. And along the way, he runs into all kinds of craziness.
Yeah.
Like football teams and... Arabs and old ghost towns and cowboys and it's basically just like I don't know, is it stream of consciousness? Is that what it is?
Yeah, I feel like what happened was Jim Henson was probably writing this and just writing down ideas. Like he had like 13 different ideas he wanted to tell for stories and just put them all into one thing and kind of left it at that and then died. And then somebody said, this is kind of cool. And instead of going in there and filling in the world and, I don't know, maybe attaching more of a plot to it. Like, yeah, maybe attaching a story and not just leaving it as a bare bones plot. It could have done some good. Like, I felt like someone could have gone in. They should have hired, who's the guy who does all the Kevin Smith books over at, I think it's Dynamite.
Yeah, Dynamite.
Yeah, who's that? What's his name?
Phil Hester?
Yeah, they should have hired Phil Hester, because that's what he seems to be good at that. It's taking somebody's script and adding a story to it, so that you can actually, you know, so that it actually reads.
He is good at that.
I mean, that's what they could have called, or, you know, somebody, at least have someone do that. Yeah, that's what I needed.
So, Mike, I guarantee that you would not like this book.
Absolutely, 100%. Even though the art is off.
It's exactly what we're talking about. Like, the art is really good, but the story is...
incomprehensible?
Pretty much. Well, it's comprehensible in that he's going through the... he's walking through the desert, and he sees all this stuff.
He sees stuff in the desert. Because
people are chasing him.
And he's running away. And it's weird, because like, the idea in general is an idea that I thoroughly enjoy. I like the run-away-from-things story. Where, like, you have no idea what's really happening, and you run away. My problem is, like, in the finding out what's happening, it doesn't really, like, nothing really pops off there. Like, I feel like each individual incident that he runs into, like, each of the different scenarios that he goes through, they don't really lend information to the story as a whole. It's just kind of a cool incident. And then he moves on. Like, there was no significance to any of those to the story itself. It was just cool thing here and cool thing there. And then it ended, and I was like, okay. But the art was great, though.
Mm-hmm. And there's also not a lot of dialogue in it. There's very little dialogue throughout the whole story.
Yeah, because...
Not a fan of that.
Yeah, me neither. And so the one thing where I think it kind of let me down when comparing it to, like, if it was a movie, this would have been, I think, really good if there had been a cool soundtrack to it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would have been, like, especially, like, in the beginning when they're doing, like, the jazz. I guess it's jazz music. That's what it was in my head, at least. But, like,
yeah,
I feel like that a really good soundtrack, if you got...
Even the whole thing, like, through it when he's going through the desert. I mean, you could have tons of cool music going through. And I'm sure when Henson was writing it, he was imagining that.
Yeah, and so that's
A lot of his stuff had music to it, right?
Yeah, that's what Jim Henson kind of, like, that was some of the good stuff about
Henson. And you're right, even throughout the story, there's, like, bands and stuff playing music.
Yeah.
You just don't get to hear it.
Yeah, you don't, yeah, and that'd be nice if you were able to, this would have been a better movie than a comic book. And that's the problem with adapting screenplays that were, like, things that are designed for film into comics, is because, like, emotionally and storytelling-wise, music can do so much for a movie. And with comics, you just don't have that. Like, they're just doesn't exist.
Because right. Even there was one scene where he's in the desert and he finds, like, a record player and a record and starts playing it.
Yeah, like that doesn't do you much good when you can't hear it.
We don't really know what he's playing. Maybe they said, but...
But it's different whenever you have to... Like, if they told you what it was, and you'd have to go, like, Google it and pull up the YouTube page and then play it while you read it.
So I think that if this was a movie, it might have... I think I would have liked it better as a movie.
Yeah. I will say this, though. Corgi is kind of awesome. There's no words in that.
Well, I'll tell you something else that was awesome. I got that Gilliam March thing from Image, and that was some sexy art, I tell you. My God.
Is it a book of sexy art? A book of sexy art?
Oh, Lordy, man. He draws Catwoman now, but man, woo!
You had to go take a break.
Well, he's one of my favorite artists. I've liked him since he came out into DC with Gotham City Sirens, and when he was doing Batman, he's got, like, a really smooth line. And good Lord, this collects some of his stuff that he's done for, like, Eros, which is erotic, you know, comics.
Oh, yeah. Eros,
sexy time comics. and then it's got, like, some European Playboy stuff he's done, and oh Lordy, it was worth every penny.
That's the one with the big pink cover, right?
Yeah.
Nice.
It's not pink anymore. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I'm a fan of his art. He blew me away on Gotham
City Sirens.
City Sirens.
Oh, man, he draws one hell of a Catwoman. And this one, he does have a licensed Catwoman of, like, the Michelle Pfeiffer Catwoman. Oh, that's pretty sexy. I think that's the only licensed property that he has in this book. It's all mostly from his other European work.
Who published that?
Image.
Man, Image is just knocking it out of the park.
They are.
This whole episode is an image episode.
Well, they have a lot of, what do you call it? They're in sales, their latest, like, Thief of Thieves and a bunch of other stuff, which they're going to make into a TV show.
Have you guys read that? Is that any good? I've heard good things, but I haven't been able to read it
myself. I think you liked it last time we talked, right?
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
I'm paying attention.
I haven't read it yet.
Yeah, it's a good story. It was well done. And that's just about it's the older thief, retired thief, I think, mentoring a younger woman, and then the first issue sets up their big heist or whatever they're going to do. So it's weird that it got optioned for a TV show when only one issue's come out. But
that's the Robert Kirkman, really. His success of Walking Dead. They're like,
yeah, what else do you get?
Well, they're probably like, what else do you got? You think this will adapt well? And he's like, yeah, let's do this.
Yeah, and you could probably say, he probably has digitally like the first few issues, right?
They should do a Super Dinosaur for Saturday mornings on A&E or whatever it is, on A&E or whatever. Is it on A&E or is it?
Yeah.
Okay. I get confused.
AMC.
AMC. They should do a Saturday morning Super Dinosaur. That's a fun comic. That's a good kids comic that I think appeals to adults because I guess I'm not an adult, so I wouldn't know.
Are you not?
The only time I'm mature is at work, really.
And it kills you.
Yeah, it's killing me slowly.
You leave the adult at work.
That's right. Leave him at work. So, I read some stuff. I read some Avengers, what is it called? A versus X?
ZX.
Yeah. Yeah.
We talked about the Infinite. I read 0 and 1. I thought they were good. I didn't think they were great. But I did like the new Avengers number 24, which is an A versus X. It kind of showed you how they got to Utopia. And I really like that one because it focused on Luke Cage and his relationship to Jessica. And I've always liked that. I've always liked that relationship. And that's why I enjoyed that comic so much. The other ones I read is G.I. Joe Retaliation number 3, which is a prequel to the movie. I'm really enjoying that. That's good. I'm excited for the movie. Because it focuses on... God, I can't even think his name. It's Rock's character, which is Roadblock. And Mainframe. Like, they have a brotherly relationship in this movie. G.I. Joe has really grown on me. Good Lord.
You love it now.
I'm obsessed.
G.I. Joe.
You're like worse than all those kids from the 80s. Oh my God.
No, this is worse. It's bad because it's like I discovered something very late, and I don't know if I ever liked it back. I hated the cartoon. I hated the comic when it first came out. Now I want it. It's like, yeah.
Give it to me.
I buy all four. I bought all the Image ones in the 90s. A matter of fact, I read two of them today by Josh Blaylock. And
recently you bought them?
No, I bought them at Baltimore.
That's what I mean, not back when they were coming out.
Yeah, recently.
Okay.
Because I wouldn't have bought them when they came out because I never liked them before IDW took over.
There was Image and Devil's Due did it had it for a
yeah,
while.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm reading. The Image one became Devil's Due because Josh Blaylock was writing it and he eventually bought Devil's Due or formed his own company and then started going over.
And do you like that stuff?
Those comics aren't as good, but because I'm so immersed in the characters now, I'm enjoying it.
Okay.
So, yeah, G.I. Joe is top of my stack, actually, which I would never in my wildest dreams would have thought when I get my package, what is the first thing I'm reading? G.I. Joe, damn it. You know, they just had this crossover I thought was freaking amazing, and the latest issue of Cobra ended it. They had the same artist for the whole crossover, which was amazing, 9 issues of a crossover, the same artist, and... different writers, but it was, you know, Chuck Dixon and Mike Costa. But man, was it a good story. It's the new Cobra Commander taking over, and it gives you his backstory, and he pretty much took over a third world country just to blow the shit out of it and show his power. And And what always fascinates me about Cobra is, yeah, they're bad guys, but man, they're so much more technically competent than G.I. Joe. In other words, they're like technically way ahead of them. And G.I. Joe always seems like they're on their heels. Like, how the hell can we stop these guys? And the thing that makes Cobra so fucking fascinating is all the power players in the organization hate each other.
Yeah, that's what I like.
They fucking hate each other. So how do they even have this organization? Because they want to back – as soon as they get an opportunity opens itself up, they will backstab that person.
Yeah, that's what I would say. It's like the interesting thing about telling a story about bad guys in a bad organization is they'll fuck each other over at any turn because they don't give a shit.
Yeah, it's amazing. I get excited talking
about – You can't trust any of them.
Because to me – man, it's just so damn good right now, and I'm so sucked into the world. So
in terms of the G.I. Joes, what are your like? Which ones are the better ones?
Right now, they all meld into one because of
a crossover.
So you gotta read them all. You have to.
I just read Cobra and Trade though. Yeah, I don't know what they're gonna do when it gets to the trade.
You're gonna have to read that because you read Cobra where they killed off Cobra Commander, so you have to read the next two trades.
Oh, well, I get all the Cobra trades.
Yeah.
I don't know if I might have to get some other ones if they're going to cross over though.
You will and it's so damn good. It is they flowed really well together. The latest Cobra was, oh my god. You're going to love it, Bill. It just it's so much fun. Even the infestation issues, which I've been hit or miss on, were really good because they have the what is that, Cthulhu lore right now in Infestation, and it had that bald, well, he's not bald in the new G.I. Joe, but the bald guy with the pink pants, I can't remember what his name is. He's the crazy looking G.I. Joe that looks really weird. But
what's G.I. Joe Cobra Command?
That's the crossover. The
one you're talking about? Yeah. Okay, that's a crossover.
Yeah. So good, Bill.
They're bringing out a trade, G.I. Joe Cobra Command Volume 1 and Volume 2 trades.
Yeah. I can't speak highly enough. The other thing I want to say is Danger Girl's a lot of fun. I mean, it's like a high speed. This could be a movie because it's like written off some kind of like Michael Bay movie. And they are going to cross over with G.I. Joe. That was one of the announcements at the con, so I'm looking forward to that. I bought a lot of comics from Sean Gaborin, Stephanie, and one of them that I got from them, they're really awesome. They're going to have a kid here soon. I bought Victor Season, which is about a small town that looks like in the middle of nowhere with a very small population that as soon as victors come during the victor season, you know, like visitors, they all end up getting killed by something. You don't know what it is yet, but they're like sacrificed to this guy named Victor who created this town called Victor Season. And he like hunts them down. And this year was a weird year because there wasn't that many visitors, and they have to kill like a certain amount of people during the year or something's going to happen. And that's what happens in the first issue, is that they're kind of worried that something's going to happen internally to the town. So that was really interesting.
I read a preview of that or something on their site.
Yeah, it's worth getting. Sean is really talented in the horror genre. I mean, he puts together that other comic where he tells a story in two pages, and that's freaking phenomenal. I mean, because you really do get like a little bit of a horror clip in two pages, you know, beginning, middle, and end, and you don't think it's possible to do that, but he pulls it off. So, yeah, and Firestorm I read, and the interesting thing about The Fury of Firestorm is Ethan Van Sciver drew it on number 7. So he finally – the art is really nice. The story is still very much the same. It's not the fun Firestorm. It's brooding and how could you say it? There's a lot of war going on with other Firestorms. What
else? How many firestorms are there?
There seem to be like one in every country.
Wow.
Yeah. So what else did I want to talk about? Oh, Batman and Robin, number 8. I don't know if you guys read number 7.
Nope.
But in number 7, Damian does something. You kind of don't blame him. Batman's losing it because there's this villain called Nobody. And he brings like Damian over to the dark side, and Batman is like pissed, and he looks like he's almost going to kill him. But Damian ends up killing him. And number 8 deals with the ramifications after Damian killed somebody and his relationship with Bruce. And, man, it was just so well done. In that same vein, Batgirl number 8 was really awesome because you learn the backstory between why Barbara's mom left Jim and, you know, the kids behind. And it pretty much tells the story of Barbara's brother and how whacked out that guy is. And
so Sarah Essen never existed in this universe.
Who? Stephanie?
No, Sarah Essen.
No. Yeah, probably not, because Sarah Essen was the guy that got killed in No Man's Land.
Yeah, that was James's wife. He cheated on his wife with Sarah.
Is a different woman.
Okay.
She looks a lot like her daughter.
Hold on, if I'm not mistaken, was there ever a point in time, like 70 years ago, when Jim Gordon was actually Barbara's uncle instead of her father?
Yes, that was continuity, yeah.
That's weird. All right, keep going.
Yeah, well, this one also deals with the one thing that you can appreciate is the one thing that stayed in continuity was Killing Joke. And in Killing Joke, if you go back and read it, the Joker kind of knocks on the door and shoots Barbara and messes with her and captures Gordon. But if you look in one of the panels of Killing Joke, you'll see Joker come in and there's a henchman right next to him. And they actually weaved the henchman into this latest story arc. And he's really the reason that Barbara was alive, because as soon as they left the house, he's the one that called the police and you know, had them rescue her. So that was kind of interesting. I spoiled the shit out of that. I better put that in the show notes.
I'll note the time.
Yeah. Avenging Spider-Man was interesting enough that it made me... It's in a crossover right now. So I'll probably pick up Punisher, and I don't normally pick up the Punisher, but just to finish the story arc. That's pretty much all I really wanted to talk about.
Yeah, I skipped over.
You skipped over what?
It's a lot of the crossover.
Mm.
In Avenging Spider-Man. Well, I'll come back to it later.
There's a lot of crossovers going on. I read the iVampire Justice League Dark one. That was decent. That was good. I like crossovers, but man, the G.I. Joe one was so damn good. Now that's how a crossover should be done. Every issue is like, usually I get pissed off when they crossover stuff because I'm like, I have to buy books I don't want, but I was already buying them all. So I'm like, hell yeah.
So it worked.
Yeah, it's like, crack open the G.I. Joe and read it. Now that I'm out of G.I. Joe and now that I went to 2 weeks, I have 2 G.I. Joes coming in my shipment. Dying to read them because the crossover's over and I want to see what the ramifications are of everything that happened. God, those guys hate each other. I mean, I don't know how an organization could be so powerful and at the same time they don't have trust amongst any of them. You can't any of those villains. And the way Mike Costa writes them, he writes them so damn well. And, man, he writes G.I. Joe is that, man, they're always 7 steps behind. With the exception of what he did with Chuckles, he kind of made him a hero. But Chuckles did some pretty damn rotten things to do what he did. I mean, he had to because he was undercover. But he killed other Joes. I mean, he killed Jinx in that series. So, man, it's good stuff. Micah, did you
I think we talked about most of them. I'm trying to think of what. Did you, either of you guys read Secret?
No. How was that?
What was that, Bill?
I'm trying. No, not.
That was a Hickman book, right?
Yeah, the Hickman book.
Was that recent? Maybe I just haven't got it yet.
Yeah, I think it's. I think it's this week.
Yes, I think this... I'm sure I ordered it. I just haven't got it yet.
It's I don't like. It's not like I don't know if it. I'm just not sold. Not that I'm not sold on it. It's hard to describe my feelings on this book. It's one of those things where, like, I'll read the next issue and I'll probably determine whether I like it or not then. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just I don't know what the the meta story is going to be of this one. Because right now it's kind of like, I think this guy's a security consultant or something like not a like they like I think the main story of this one is these people break into this big corporate thing and kind of tell this person like kind of tell all these people about how bad the security is and what's coming up in the future and this kind of stuff, and like that's like the bulk of the story, and then there seems to be some other sort of like espionage stuff going on in the future. And but it's not like you need to learn a little bit about the main character and a little bit about the world, but it's mostly still all being it's a Hickman book, damn it. And so I'm gonna wait till the next issue before I can make a determination on, because I feel like the next issue will let me know what's going on in this issue, very much like Hickman likes to do. Like, it's a lot of things going on, and there's a simple story in there, but the simple story is way less interesting than what I feel like Hickman is going to end up doing, like, 4 issues from now.
So he didn't have, like, a twist or something at the end?
No, the twist... No, there isn't a real twist or a hook at the end. It's more like it's...
Because in Manhattan Project, his other book, there's definitely a... He definitely gets you in the first issue.
The hook is laid in throughout the story itself. Like, there's little clues as to what's going on.
Yeah.
But it's a little more subtle, kind of. Not maybe, I don't know, subtle maybe it's the wrong word, but, like, it's not... There wasn't, like, that page where he goes, whoa, now you know what's going on. It's more right. like a...
The reveal will come later.
Yeah, the reveal's coming later, but there's, like, you know there's a reveal coming. Like, it's very clear to you that shit, like, there's definitely shit going down. So I liked it, I just don't... I want to read the next issue before I say, like, how much I like it. One of those deals. And I read Conan the Barbarian number 3, and this book is still good. And in this issue, Conan has sex. Spoiler.
Oh, that was a good issue.
Are you reading Conan, Mike?
Yeah, this is the Becky Cloonan one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, hell yeah.
Issue number 3, where Conan and...
I'm actually caught up on it, because I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, I like this one. And having sex. That's not the whole
thing. But, well, the one before it I loved because it was like he was doing archery, man. Conan was like kicking ass with the bow on the other ship.
He jumped on the ship and like killed everyone.
I never then, fucking Conan with a bow. He was kicking ass and he was the only one shooting.
Mm-hmm. And then issue 3 is basically kind of like the aftermath of Conan going up and ripping everybody to shreds in that boat and so kind of...
Sex.
Hanging out with the crew and then getting sex. So
I like cover.
I'm still with it. The covers are always good.
I like Becky Cloonan. She's another one that I'll always get stuff. I bought that Wolves at the last Comic-Con she was at.
Yeah, like it's like this is just really good stuff here.
I was upset to see she was leaving the book on the new arc.
Yeah.
What do they got coming in?
I didn't recognize his name. I really didn't.
Some dude. Whatever.
I just saw Becky Cloonan wasn't in it.
Yeah. It's one of those things that happens.
A little heart sink a little bit. I don't know.
You get a little sad. I read another book that I just flipped through at the store because it made me giggle. And I'm trying to think about what it was, though. It was a Dark Horse book by some woman who writes novels, I think, with art by Steve Lieber. But I can think of it. I can't remember. I don't know why I remember all that. But not the name of the book. But it's about some girl killing a werewolf.
Oh, I read that.
You read that?
Yeah, don't. I can't remember what it's called though. Hang on, let me.
Something about wolves. I'm pretty sure that's in the title.
It was a weird name, wasn't it?
Yeah, I just don't remember the name of the book at all. But I know it was Steve Lieber, and I know it's
by Alabaster someone. Wolves.
That's it. I read that and I giggled because it was. I didn't think it was super great.
I didn't think it was bad.
It's just
I like the art a lot.
Steve Lieber did a good job.
Yeah,
there's a Patsy Cline type in there. That's all I like. I remember dumb things. Like, at one point in time, there's a Patsy Cline tape that someone takes out. I think they rip it up or something. I'm not sure. And then she gets mad and kills the girl, who happens to be a werewolf.
It's a story of, it's this girl who's apparently going across the country killing monsters, and she's being led by this angel.
With four faces?
Four faces.
And is she losing her soul, or is her soul already lost?
I don't know. She's albino.
Yeah.
I don't know if albino people have souls.
It's hard to tell.
What, was this the Dark Horse thing?
Yeah.
What was it called again?
Alabaster Wolves.
Oh, no wonder I would have never.
Yeah.
It's a very memorable title.
Yeah.
Is it based on a book or no?
I think it might be. Because didn't they describe it as like Caitlin R. Kiernan? My Googling skills are not the best right now. I'm like failing miserably at this.
And half the book is them telling riddles.
Yeah. I like the riddles. I just wasn't, as far as stories go, wasn't that hot.
Damn, the art was nice though.
This whole episode is about books with really good art and the stories are like, eh.
It's weird though because a lot of people think the comic, well, not think, they, well, the comic medium is both, right? It's writing and art. I mean, that's what makes a comic. But damn it, I've read some comics where the story's so good and the art sucks and I still would give it a really high rating. Do you know what I mean? But I can't do the opposite. I can't.
It's hard.
Because I struggle through the freaking thing and then I just want to just turn the page.
Well, sometimes I've had issues where the art is so bad that I can't. Maybe not even so bad, but just not to my liking. Like, Mr. Terrific is a book that, like, I don't even know what the story is. I just know I look at the art and I'm out. I'm so out on that artwork. That.
And I like Mr. Terrific.
It's just different.
But I don't like the art. I'm not reading it because of the art. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
Like, I don't say, well, I'm gonna turn this because the art is fantastic. I like what they're doing with the character Michael Holt, and I like how he's.
I can't even get into it because its art is so
multi-dimensional, and I mean, be able to transfer himself to other dimensions and shit.
I'll take him out on Earth 2 maybe. When he shows up there. That's where he's going, right? Isn't that how this is going to work?
Well, he's on Earth 2 right now. We just don't know it. In other words, so is the Power Girl that's in that story. She's on Earth 2. And then they kind of linked it all if you were reading Huntress. Because it linked all those three titles together, actually. So that was a good little...
Is Helena Wayne, like, super Catholic too? Or...
I don't know.
I was just curious about, like, because the costume would, like, it's one of those weird.
I think the costume has always had the cross on the.
Has it always had the cross? Yeah, I'm trying to. I don't remember because I've only read Huntress since she's been Bertinelli.
Well, I think the Bertinelli one always became like a hardcore mafia Catholic.
Yeah. I couldn't remember if the original Huntress was all crossed out all the time, too, or if that's only.
No, I'd have to look when Levitz was writing it, but. I don't remember a cross on her now that I think about it.
Okay. Maybe that should have been our clue. Does she have the cross in the new book?
Yeah, I think she does.
Weird. Oh well. I just read No Man's Land recently, and so like Huntress is very like all those characters are firmly impressed on my mind right now.
Mm.
I like that book.
I like Batman in general. I mean, of all the DC New 52. The Batman line, I think, is fantastic, and the Dark, with the exception of OMAC, which is the best book on the planet.
Well, I'm only reading main title Batman and Batwoman anymore. But I really like Batman. I like this. Well,
Batman's such a great character. I mean,
it just has so many good. It's like so many good storylines.
Yeah, I dig it, and this crossover with the Owls is going to be fun. I think
we will see.
Subjected by all of books.
Yeah, that's not happening. So we'll find out if this whole thing about being able to, if they really want me to be able to read my title and be happy about it, stands true. That's what they told me. They told me that in the press conferences whenever this shit first started up.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it when Batman punched Robin in the face.
The hit was so hard.
The Nightwing one? When he punched.
Yeah.
Fucking tooth out. Not only the tooth, but he knocked the right tooth out.
Yeah, like, that is so absurd. Like, I know that Batman is awesome, and so he can do that kind of stuff, but, like, he hit Nightwing so hard, like, broke his face all the way around. But only one tooth came out, and it happened to be the right tooth.
They did that really well, though, with Batman and the Nightwing. If you're reading both books, those writers knew how to get from point A to point B. They worked very good together because everything that was in Nightwing led up to that punch. I mean,
and I'll say it worked well for someone who wasn't reading Nightwing because I haven't been reading it, and it made sense in that book, so that's good enough for me.
Yeah. I guess that's how a good continuity should do it, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But like with G.I. Joe, up to that point, it's up to this last crossover, nine issues, it was where you could read each one. Even when they were doing Cobra, the Cobra leader, establishing him, the new Cobra commander, it was, you could still read this Cobra and be fine. But man, when this crossover, so dope, well done. I mean, the only thing that was distracting the crossover is this artist obviously was killing himself to get nine issues done.
Mm.
And he used a lot of what I thought was kind of lazy taking picture kind of things. And some panels it was distracting. But other than that, it was a really good crossover. So are we done with comics?
I'm gonna say, wait, hold on. I finished Carnage USA, and I don't like the end of it. I think the series went downhill after, like, it didn't work out. It didn't work as well.
Mm.
Like, it wasn't as much fun anymore.
Why?
And it felt like it tried a little bit too hard. I don't know. Like,
spoil it. I don't fucking care. We're gonna.
Well, of course not.
USA. So.
Yeah. Right. Because there's a spoiler for this kind of book.
Yes.
So the whole story is that Carnage goes to this town and takes over the town and turns people into little Carnage symbiotes, and everyone goes evil and kills things, right? And it's kind of absurd in that way.
And you like that part?
I like that part. And then superheroes show up, and Carnage takes them over too, like Captain America and the crew. Everyone but the Avengers show up, basically. Well, the Avengers and Ben Grimm. So, like, they show up. And they get taken over too, except for Spider-Man, because Spider-Man is immune to Carnage. So Spider-Man takes the people away, and they all hide out sort of away from, like, symbiote Captain America and symbiote like Thing and all the rest of the crew, right? And so this is all going well and good until the U.S. government sends in their squad of they're symbiote soldiers, I guess, right? So, like, all the bad symbiotes that grew up after Venom and Carnage, like Toxin and the 17 other ones, I guess, they're all attached to military people now. And they go into town. And this is still, like, part of the good stuff. So they roll into town, and they fight against Carnage, but they can't win because, I don't know, they're all stupid or something. And so issue 4 and 5, basically, are this kind of mess where they end up defeating Carnage, sort of, but not really. And then Carnage loses a symbiote and it attaches itself to a gorilla. And not a gorilla, to a giraffe. And so the Thing has to fight a giraffe. And I felt like that was trying a little bit too hard. like the gag, like the gag didn't work as well, and maybe it was just the artwork. Like the art is, the artwork is good, but
why was the thing fighting a giraffe?
Because it was a Carnage giraffe. Yeah, there's a Carnage giraffe and there's a Carnage zoo thing.
Yeah, you would have lost me there too.
Yeah, like it just did. Like
I don't know. It sounds cool as a concept.
The art style is too like dark and like too kind of dark for that to for. Because I wanted to laugh, but the art didn't want me to laugh at it. The art wanted me to take it seriously.
Yeah, Crane has a beautiful type of painting style.
Yeah, right?
But man, it's like for books that are dark, like X-Force. Yeah. And
so when you get to Carnage Giraffes, I'm
Ghost
just like,
Rider. Yeah, yes. You, yeah, that doesn't look great.
Like a Carnage walrus.
Yeah, like. That would be like if this story was if the same end of the story was told in different artwork, I might have liked it more. It's just that when it got to the weird part, and then there was a whole like a fight between Flash and Cletus Kasady, and neither of them have legs, and they're like fighting in a meat hook factory where they butcher pigs, I think, and that didn't come off as well as I think it was intended to. And then, yeah, like. I mean, there's a couple of good scenes in it, like the scene where Flash doesn't kill Cletus because he's afraid to embarrass himself in front of Spider-Man because he really likes Spidey. Like, that was nice, but the rest of it was just kind of silly and absurd. And yeah. And then there's like too many like Deus Ex moments where like another symbiote character will show up and be awesome. And like, oh no, they're going to lose. But wait, another symbiote character shows up who has super like laser beam power attack and can wipe out 45 symbiotes at once. And so there you go. That was cool.
What is the status quo at the end?
The status quo is that instead of killing Cletus like they should have, he's locked in jail. And this is like the problem of superhero books in general, kind of a deal with this thing. Like, that guy should be dead situation because, you know, just kill this dude. It's not nothing good comes from him, but so he goes to jail, and at the end, Flash is still Venom, and all the superheroes are the same, and nothing actually happened because it's a miniseries. So the status quo is that nothing happened.
Right, you just had the fluff in the middle.
Yeah, fluff in the middle, and I like the like. I don't mind that. I kind of enjoy part of it, but there's a scene at the end where this guy who. Like, Carnage killed two of his kids and turned his wife into a Carnage monster who tried to kill him and the other daughter. And he's going to go shoot Cletus, right? And everyone's like, you shouldn't do that. And Wolverine's like, are you fucking sure about that? And everyone's like, yeah, you can't kill him. That makes you a bad guy. Wolverine's like, this is dumb. Nothing good has ever come from Carnage ever being alive, and so they don't, and you're just kind of left with this weird thing.
Hey, Bill,
and problem is,
did you lose Micah for about 10 seconds there?
Yeah.
Weird. This is happening this episode. This episode is an episode full of ghosting things. I wonder if on the
on the recording, if it's going to be okay.
We'll find. I'll have to actually listen to this one.
I'll release this one because I have all the show notes already ready to go and everything.
Look at you.
Yeah.
On the money.
He's the pro.
Well, actually, thank Derek because he's made it so easy to do now.
You know, that new system is fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
It's super easier.
And the other thing I like about it is I could control the release. Like, I could release it when I want it to.
Yeah, you can release it right now. Well, not right now.
Yeah?
10 minutes. You just put it on the internet.
Well, I level 8 it, and then I'll release it. Yeah, that Carnage looked interesting when you talked about it at first, but now
yeah, I like the the beginning is really good.
And then the thing that you kind of lost me because I like Clayton Crane, I like his artwork, but like you said, he's like a Ghost Rider, he's like a X-Force, and then you have like funny animals. It just
yeah, like the Carnage giraffe doesn't work as well as it's supposed to.
Yeah, I want to see like Ed McGuinness art when I see this.
She did say
the thing punched out a giraffe. That was kind of...
Yeah, no, it's fun. Like, there are parts of it that are kind of fun.
Reminded me of... I watched Avengers, Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the kicks I got off on the premiere, and it made me laugh, was the whole poker table thing. They were there around the table playing with the Fantastic Four poker. And they have the Hulk and the Thing. And Hulk, the Thing goes Full House. And the Hulk just reaches across the table and punches the shit out of him. It's like the whole episode, they're beating the shit out of each other. Hulk is using the Thing as like a fly swatter in there. And it was hilarious. I mean, I don't know if I was supposed to be laughing at the Avengers, but man, it was funny.
I think you are. That show is funny. Have you seen Ultimate Spider-Man yet?
No, I haven't seen it.
I don't know how I feel about it.
I'm sure I'll like it. It doesn't take much for me.
Yeah. It's the tone is weirder than I expected. Like, it's self-aware to an extent. That's kind of strange. Not like Deadpool, but like the show definitely knows it's Spider-Man is weird. And so
don't they break the fourth wall too?
They do break the fourth wall, but it's not as like it's not as bad as I expected it to be. Like I was expecting like Deadpool like completely destroying the flow of the comic, breaking the fourth wall.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of, I guess, mildly breaking the fourth wall. So at least so far, I've only seen the first episode, so I'm not so sure, but like I'm gonna keep watching it because I like cartoons, but it's a weird show.
Yeah, I'm really behind in my cartoon watching, but Young Justice, yeah, the Young Avengers, Young All Stars, whatever. That man, that show's good. I saw the episode where Kid Flash had to rush the heart. You know?
Oh yeah.
That was pretty emotional. I really thought that the girl was going to die.
Nah.
And it has had some dark moments, like the yeah. Dr. Fate thing. That was pretty dark.
But I figured they were reflective, though.
But I liked how Vandal Savage was just in the middle of the road, and he was just there to distract him from getting from point A to point B. And then he gets to the hospital, and there's somebody there to take the heart away from him. But that's a good story.
So, I hear the contractor in the background.
Yeah.
Is he gonna fix your house?
Yes, I hope.
So, did you guys watch anything like other than cartoons? Because I only watch cartoons.
I only watch the cartoons too. Well, I watched. Good Lord, I watched the second episode of The River. Have you seen that?
No, I heard about it, but I haven't watched it yet.
This was good because there was a tribe in the Amazon that put the stuff while they were asleep into their eyes, which caused the entire crew of the boat to go blind. Which made the story really interesting. They did it to everybody except for one guy, and then the one guy that had to go get the root from underneath this tree had been buried in a mine before, and he had a fear of claustrophobia.
I bet so.
So man, it was kind of a good story. I liked it.
I'm reading a book about mines.
It
right
actually
now.
Was a better, which the ones that don't talk, mine.
No. Like mining, but
okay. And I think that TV-wise, I haven't watched much except for the usual reality stuff that Barb usually watches, and I'm usually reading and peeking at the side of my eye what's going on. How about you, Bill?
Watch anything? Yeah, hang on. Let's see what I watched.
I do want to ask Michael one question.
Mike, go ahead.
Did you finish Star Wars Clone Wars season?
No, damn it. I'm going to finish it up. I'll probably finish it up tomorrow.
Okay. I was kind of disappointed that they brought somebody back, but...
Oh, no. I'll watch it, and then I'll talk to you next episode about who they brought back.
Yeah. It's actually a two-parter, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't watched the last two episodes. I've been building it up a little bit, and then pounding through it. Speaking of that, Bill, do you know what you watch? Because I can go.
You can go.
Okay. Because I've been watching Avatar: The Last Airbender for the past week or so, trying to catch. like getting caught up before the new series comes out, because this is, it's a cartoon about, it's like this really awesome like mystical kung fu cartoon, and I'm totally in love with it. And there's gonna be a, there's a new series of, like a whole new series of the show coming up today. Actually, it's the first episode. Actually, it probably ended like an hour ago, but I'm going through, like pounding through the first three seasons of it. To kind of, not to get in, not to remember anything, because I remember all of it pretty well, but just to watch it again because the show is super great. And have either of you ever, outside of like the terrible M. Night Shyamalan movie, have you guys?
I only saw the movie.
Good God, that's.
But I'm driven away by the animation of the.
Well, I know you wouldn't like it because they have big eyes, but
yeah. How about the the storytelling style? Is it?
It's straightforward.
It's straightforward. It's not like a lot of anime. That.
Did you like Teen Titans at all? Like the
No.
Okay, then you won't like this. It isn't the same. Like
you mean the animated one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't watch right. Those big heads and the.
It is. It is.
I don't mind it when it's like in DC Nation, like when they had like Changeling.
When it's 1 minute
yeah,
long.
When it's 1 minute long, and it's a short, cute cartoon. But when you put it all into a half hour, I don't know.
No, it's not as cartoony as that. But they don't have as many moments like Teen Titans was. I like that show. Teen Titans is unrelenting when it came to that kind of stuff, where like you'd be in a serious scene and then somebody would get surprised and turn into a little like miniature character and run around for a bit, right? Like
yeah.
There was never like it didn't stay serious or it didn't stay silly. Like they would just hop back and forth between the two like very, very quickly.
Yeah.
This one does not do that. It pretty much stays to its style. They just happen to have big eyes. And if there's ever going to be a scene where they do something extraordinarily cute, you see it coming from a mile away. And so you never like there's never a scene where Slade is about to kill Robin and all of a sudden like Starfire shows up with big giant eyes. Like, whoa, where did that come from? Like that never happens in this show. So
yeah, I like the shorts though, because they okay. had a funny one. I don't know if you saw where yes. Changeling mixed the belt up with Robin and his belt had like crazy ass shit in it.
Yes.
And they were fighting Dr. Light. That was funny. See, I thought that was funny. That was like Tiny Titans humor for me.
Yeah, that's I love those shorts. I like pretty much every short I've seen so far I've really enjoyed.
Yeah, the Plastic Man was great. Oh God, that was great. Asking an old lady to like, well, what did it look like?
I like the one with Donna Troy and Supergirl and Batgirl.
Oh yeah, and they even gave her the Greek accent.
Yeah, it's like, come on, I want tacos.
Yeah,
can we get tacos? Bill, have you seen these yet?
I have only a few.
You should have your kids in front of the TV.
Yeah, you should. Instead of making them be silent, holding their hands, you should make them
instead of watching Antichrist with them in front of the TV and have them watch Saturday Morning with DC Nation.
Yeah, make them watch that instead because it's so funny. I like laughing, and so
yeah. So, did you think of what you watched, Bill?
Yeah, but no, it's nothing really exciting.
Like Iron Chef and then Cake Boss.
I don't know what shows I watched. I finally got around to watching Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Oh, did you like it?
Yeah, I liked it.
It's good. Did you like James Franco being James Franco as a scientist?
He was very James Franco-esque.
Yeah.
I liked him in it, actually.
He wasn't bad. Did you like watching Draco Malfoy get his ass kicked by that monkey?
Who?
Draco, I don't know what his real name is. He's the bad guy from Harry Potter.
I don't watch Harry Potter.
Oh, he's like the bad scientist in that movie. Like,
he's the.
I don't know what his name is. I had to find this out. But he's the one who, like, was, I think it was a candy bar that he wouldn't give Caesar or something like that. Or, like, he held it in front of his face and took it away.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That guy. I hate him.
I liked it. I liked
it. It's all his fault.
Yeah, they did a good job with that one. That one I didn't really pay attention to when it came out for some reason.
Really,
I think I meant to go see it, but I
really sided with the apes in this one.
Of course.
Oh yeah, humans.
The doctor was an asshole.
Humans suck, man.
And I like the fight on the bridge.
Yeah, that was kind of cool.
With the Golden Gate Bridge they were on, I don't remember.
Yep. Yeah, it was Golden Gate. They're in San Fran.
That was a nice fight scene.
That helicopter scene. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
It was interesting. I was watching the, I guess it was the deleted scenes where they were showing that helicopter scene. In the movie, they had like the main, what was the main ape? Caesar. Mm-hmm. What was it? There was the bad scientist was in the helicopter, right, and about to fall off the bridge, and he was holding it. And then the bad guy ape attacked the guy or killed the guy or whatever.
Yeah.
But in the deleted scene, it was actually Caesar who did it.
Ah.
So they decided to make him, I guess at the last minute, they must have decided to make him more sympathetic.
Right.
And not a cold-blooded killer.
Hmm.
That makes sense.
That was a good decision.
Yeah, it's a good decision because it's hard. I always have a hard time in movies where they have a hero, like movie, like anything, real, any media really, but you have like a good guy and then, or not even a good guy, but someone they're supposed to make sympathetic to you. And then they just do awful stuff, like for not any like real well thought out reason. And they're still like, no, like this guy. Like, I can't. He's an awful person.
Yeah.
So it's good that Caesar didn't.
But in this situation, I mean, it would have been justified for him to do it, but...
Yeah, true.
And I'm sure they had many discussions. It was probably up to the last minute trying to decide which way to go with it. Whether to make him... keep him sympathetic or... show that he's, you know...
I think they made a wise decision in this case.
Yeah.
Cause not I think that one they had fully rendered it. That's another interesting thing in the deleted scenes. Because some of them they did just with the... You see, whatever his name is, Andy
Serkis.
Like with all the dots all over him acting as the ape. And they decided to cut the scene before they did the animation over top of it. But in some scenes they went all the way through with the animation. And some are like partially animated and partially just him. And man, that dude does a good ape.
Yeah.
They could have just used him, I think, as the ape. And
the,
it would have worked. They probably
could have. Andy Serkis is pretty awesome at his thing.
He's got a skill.
It's weird, though, because I wonder if he can play a person. Like, I know he can. He's done it. But, like I wonder if...
Anyone how it would be
hire him as an just a regular actor in a movie and give him like something to do as a person.
Yeah, I think you'd have to put the dots on him and then like put a digital version of him over top of it, a digital person. That would be funny.
Weird because he always gives good performances. He just always gives them as a golem or a monkey. He's played two monkeys now, right? He's played Caesar. Wasn't he King Kong as well?
It's like probably. I don't know.
I mean, I'm just gonna guess that he was King Kong. So wasn't he in 10-10 too?
Yeah, I thought he was in 10-10.
Did you like that movie?
I haven't seen it.
Oh.
I saw 10-10.
I saw it. I thought it was good.
Yeah.
Daryl, you should text Daryl and tell him that 10-10's pretty cool.
I mean, I personally hate 10-10 as a character and like the whole series or whatever, but like, just, I haven't seen the movie.
It didn't blow me away, but it had some great, great animation.
And it encouraged drinking.
Yeah,
it's not surprising.
The captain, yeah.
there was one scene where they're did. That one scene where they're going through that town, and like it's a big chase scene. That was like gorgeous.
Uh-huh.
It's really well animated.
Well, I watched Wrath of the Titans. I thought that was pretty good.
I completely forgot about that movie even existing.
Yeah. Well, did you like Clash of the Titans?
I enjoyed it. I didn't think it was, you know, I enjoyed it.
It's visually pretty cool. I mean,
at least the Kraken.
Well, this one's got the Cyclopses, and it's got these cool two-headed beasts that shoot fireballs. It's got a lot of cool stuff, and the underlying premise, I think, is pretty cool. It's like the gods, what are they called? The Titans? They were before the Greek gods. Titans.
Yeah.
There's a plot to release one of the Titans, and and the gods are trying to look to their children, which I guess they have a lot of sex. So,
oh yeah,
they go look to their half human, half god type kids to help them against this war, which they have no chance of winning. So, yeah, it's pretty good. I liked it.
Which is weird because they won the first time.
Yeah.
Figure you just do that again. and the best plot.
I liked it better than the first remake.
I might watch it then.
I think when I watch, I think I like the plot a little bit better, and I already knew. I guess I like the original so much that it was.
Yeah, there's no tie. Yeah,
there
back.
Was. Yeah, there was no. Yeah.
So you don't feel like it isn't like. I've seen this. I've seen it better.
Yeah, it's just like you're making this effects better, but I've already seen this. This one was something I at least saw that was different.
That's cool.
I think we might go see Cabin in the Woods. Go check that one out.
Who directed that movie?
I have no idea. I just know it's going to be spooky.
So I want to see it before it gets spoiled.
Yeah, I'm going to make sure I do that, spoil it, right.
And so I'm trying not to read any... You bastard! That's because you're a bastard.
I wish you'd get a good damn phone so I could text you after the movie and say... there's a cabin and there's woods!
You won't believe it!
You won't believe it! There's
according
people
to the
dying.
Book, the house floats.
Yeah, I'll let you know if there's penis in there. That's what Barb said.
Oh, Joss Whedon wrote it.
Yeah, I knew Joss Whedon wrote it. Or co-wrote it.
I didn't read anything about that before. You told me.
Oh, it's a TV director. He did some episodes of Lost and Buffy and Alias. And 6 Feet Under. Interesting.
I'm watching a lot of Grindhouse things on Netflix.
Not surprising. Have you seen that one about the tire yet?
I haven't seen that one yet. Is that a Grindhouse one?
Yeah.
That was horror. I'm watching one from 1972 called The Big Bird Cage. It is a book's bad girl and her radical guerrilla boyfriend devise a plan to liberate inmates at a local women's prison to satisfy the mercenaries' friends.
I've seen this.
It stars.
What's it called? Gorilla Man?
No, The Big Bird Cage.
It's Pam Grier. And it, guess who else it had? Sid Haig in it as a young guy. Haig from Devil's Reject, you know, Captain Spaulding. Like, holy crap. He doesn't even look the same. He's all thin.
Well, this was like, you know, 40 years ago. So.
I didn't realize Sid Haig had such a big career. I thought he's always been a B-film type guy, and this was a B-film, so...
Yeah, this wasn't exactly a huge movie.
Yeah, I'm halfway through it. I haven't finished watching it.
You haven't finished it?
It's a sexploitation film.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in, I don't know, 5 or 10 years, but...
Yeah. What else did I watch? Crap.
Women so hot with desire, they melt the chains that enslave them.
Yes. It does have a lot of bird cages, so if you like that. It has a good mud wrestling scene with Pam Grier and Sid Haig. They like they're like in the mud, and they're like, "Oh, let's go have some sex."
Also known as Women's Penitentiary 2.
I watched another Grindhouse movie, but I can't remember. Is there a way to see what your recent views were?
There is. Yeah. I just don't remember how to do it.
Yeah, there's a way.
Oh, I saw Run, Bitch, Run.
I heard of that.
This was very much like a cheaper version of, and not as sophisticated as Kill Bill, but it was similar in context, I guess.
Maybe I haven't heard of this one.
This was in 2009, and there's nobody in here I recognize at all.
Any good?
It was worth watching on Netflix since it's streaming if you like Grindhouse movies. It's like another sexploitation movie. But there's a lot. Netflix is posting a lot of the ones from the 70s, and I want to see them because I've never seen them. So that's why I'm watching the Birdcage one now. Anybody else watch any stuff?
I'm trying to think if I've watched any movies in the past 3 weeks. It's been 3 weeks, so I know I have. I just don't know what.
I saw no clue. Centipede 2.
Well, yeah, you mentioned that last time.
You talked about that. That was as
yeah.
Really?
We were good on that.
Yeah.
Covered that.
I don't know what to say.
Yeah, that's been covered.
Should be outlawed.
Now you're ready for the third one. Is there a third one?
There's a third one. But there's a lawsuit in place right now that's preventing the third one from coming out. The doctor that was in the first one, He's supposedly in the third one, and there's an issue with him and the director. The director's suing him for something.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Is it like a rights issue where that character can only...
I don't know. Barb knows more about it.
Barb is the expert in the lawsuits
anything news related or Hollywood. She lets me know, and I just don't remember what she told me. It was a money thing.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, the actor wants more money, I guess.
Really, dog? Take what you got. You're doing Human Centipede 3. You can deal with that.
It is a It's a cult movie. They're making a Human Centipede made a lot more money than John Carter, I'll tell you that.
No way.
Profit-wise, what it costs...
Profit-wise, yes.
Oh, percentage-wise.
Versus what you put in your pocket?
Yeah, there's no way...
They made a Human Centipede 2 and 3, Micah. They're not making a John Carter.
Yeah, that's for certain. That's not... You are correct on that. We're not getting it. We are definitely not getting our John Carter
shoes. It kind of makes me sad because I personally think that was my favorite movie of the year.
They're making money worldwide.
Yeah, Matt, they're
doing good internationally.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's doing well overseas.
It does well enough here. That I could see a sequel because
maybe get direct to DVD.
I got sucked.
Lord of Mars.
That's what I'm going to be looking for at cons too. Is the Marvel run? I'm going to try to fill that because I've read all the Dynamite stuff. I'm reading all the Marvel, the new Marvel stuff, and now I want to read the old Marvel stuff.
Was that written in the same... Like, when was that written? Was that in the 70s?
Yeah, the comic, yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if I have any issues, like, hidden with my Killraven stuff.
I bought a few of them at the last con. I got, like, one of the annuals and two or three issues of the series. I just try to finish it. I got some real beat-up copies, but... The art looks nice. I haven't read the stories yet.
Because I have a shit ton of Killraven books.
Reading old comics because...
Was you going to kill them all?
Even the comics in the 90s, like that G.I. Joe, it is so weird to modern comics because the modern comics you can finish reading in about 5 minutes, typically. 5 to 10
minutes,
maybe. And that's if you concentrate on the panels and you're looking at them. And if you're just reading it, probably 5 minutes. In a 90s comic or prior... They're pretty damn dense. I mean, there's a lot of words. Yeah.
Like the Doctor Strange book we mentioned from what's his face?
Keep
that was Weaver. A throwback because that that had words everywhere, and it worked with the artwork. It just, that was like a 70s book all over again, because, man, that thing was just, took me like 20 minutes to read those. It was like a regular size issue. Good old stuff.
Yep. So, Bill, you're going to have to get to your Pirates of Penzance?
No, I'm okay.
Okay. Anything up else on movies or TV? I know I watched something on TV, but I just can't remember.
I keep meaning to like write down what I watch, then I just don't ever care enough.
Yeah.
Or I watch things that are like just something that's on in the background and don't actually pay attention to it.
Still watching American Idol. I like the Dave Matthews guy.
Dave Matthews is on American Idol?
Well, they have a guy that sounds like Dave Matthews, and they're always giving him shit. They're always like, you should change your look and do this. And he's like, no, I'm who I am. I don't want to shake your hand if you're in the crowd. I don't want to smack your hand. I'm not that type of singer, he says. I sing what I want to sing. He's interesting, too, because his dad owns a pawn shop.
Maybe he's on Pawn Wars.
Could be. But he's my favorite. Pretty much. On the other show I've been watching is the other musical thing, the one with the chairs where they turn around and CeeLo's always wearing pajama jeans and shit. I don't know what the hell is that guy's doing.
The Voice?
Yeah.
I've never seen that show.
I've never seen it, but I'm trying to look.
CeeLo is weird, man. That guy dresses so funky. I guess when you're rich, you could.
Yeah, he's rich. He's rich on TV.
I'm going to work.
When you're rich.
Yeah, I don't care. I'm going to wear a devil's mustache today.
When you're rich, you can do whatever you want to do, and people just go, oh, he's eccentric.
When you're a celebrity, you can really do whatever you want to do.
Yeah, I didn't. Absolutely. Barb told me that he was a gorilla, and the Gorillaz, I don't like that band at all.
You don't like the Gorillaz? I like the Gorillaz.
Oh, I hate that band.
I don't really know them.
Alt Nation, I'm like, let me turn this shit off.
It's the dude from Blur and a few other kids.
CeeLo.
He's only done a little bit, but like Del the Funky Homo Sapien did a few songs with them. I like Del, so that worked for me. But I just know it was Blur and Del and a few other guys I don't remember.
Never heard of them.
Del the Funky Homo Sapien?
No, or Blur.
Oh, Blur.
Heard of Blur.
They're from the 90s, I'm guessing.
Oh, was that rock band, the female rock band, or no?
No. Blur was, This is going to drive me completely out.
They're a British band that appeared in the wake of the Stone Roses.
Hmm.
Pseudo-psychedelic guitar pop.
Are you reading Wikipedia?
They're reading Spotify.
That just came from his head.
Oh, Spotify. That works.
Here's what they sound like.
That's Blur. Yeah. That's their one song.
Woohoo! Oh, I know that one song.
Yeah, that is Blur's
that's
one
their
song.
Only hit.
Yep, that's about it. So it's a dude from Blur. And then the artist, I can't think of his name. He draws things.
Kid Koala.
No, I think he drew Tank Girl for a little bit. Who drew Tank Girl?
The original one? Jamie Hewitt?
Yeah, he does the art for the Gorillaz. Like he's their art designer. Because the band is a cartoon band. Like they're
I
not.
I like that CeeLo song. What is he? Forget You? I like that song.
I hate that song so much.
Forget You! I like that song a lot.
It's such a whining punk. God. The song is like for everyone who's like.
I love that line. It's like so cool. It's like, you got your Xbox, but I'm an Atari. I mean, that's me, man. That's me.
It's like, it's just this weird, stupid thing where, like, someone is cooler than you and you get mad at that. No, stop it.
You don't like me anymore, so screw you.
Yeah. Like, maybe it's your fault for being such a whining punk. Think about that, CeeLo, huh? Think about that. Yeah, it's a...
The only music of all three or four of the voice people that I listen to or have heard is Aguilera, Christina...
Who's on this show?
But the Maroon 5 guy, and I... God, I hate Maroon 5.
I'm with you on that one.
People give me shit for really? Hating Maroon 5.
They're not any good.
Black Crowes. I hate the Black Crowes.
Oh, I hate the Black Crowes.
Oh, God, I hate them. And it's like every time they come on and I tweet something like, oh, fuck, the Black Crowes are on again. I get all this hate mail. It's like, you asshole.
You're right. They're wrong. They're so wrong.
I like the Black Crowes.
You're wrong.
Now I'm getting shit like because Jimmy Page is playing with them, and I'm like, I don't care.
Whatever.
Black Crowes suck. I just don't like them.
Not any good.
I don't know. Everybody has their own musical taste, so I guess yeah. I appreciate it. That's a musical taste I don't like, and Maroon 5 I just absolutely can't stand.
But they're also objectively not any good.
And that guy is like, there's something about his attitude in that show that
I didn't even know he was on that show.
Well, he's on.
Yeah, no idea.
Last year, and there's something about his attitude that I'm like, God, this guy's an asshole. I mean, I just don't like him. I don't think I would hang out with him, whereas CeeLo I think I could hang out with. I'd go on my
weird. I'd watch that.
I'd go in my pajamas, and I'd show up.
Should get him on DC Noise. I'm sure Daryl can talk to him.
Well, Daryl would be like CeeLo if he was rich. If he had the pajamas and wanted to carry around a Muppet or whatever, I don't know, he'd do it.
Yeah, Daryl. If Daryl had money,
yeah,
I can see Daryl writing a song like that.
Forget,
yeah. Daryl has lady problems sometimes. I can see this.
Yeah, he writes from his heart. His lyrics come from his heart, and you know the whip.
I thought they came from his belly.
They come from his belly, his heart. But the belly song is just a metaphor for what his relationships are with the female. The rub my belly song.
It's a metaphor. I thought it was pretty straightforward.
Yeah, I thought so too until he told me. So we talked music.
Yeah, that happened.
Yeah.
Expanding.
I like Bruno Mars. That's what I'm getting into now. I discovering him really late in the game, but my brothers got me listening to him.
I've never really listened to him. I know some of his songs because you go to the grocery store and like Bruno Mars is always playing in the grocery store. And so I feel like I've heard enough of him just from being inside of Harry Peter.
Yeah.
There's like a lot of bands where I don't actually know the bands at all, but I know enough of their popular songs because they're always playing like at the mall or in the store. And so like, I know this song.
I like Airborne Toxic Event a lot right now.
I don't even know who that is.
Is that a band?
Yeah.
I think Mike just likes Airborne Toxic Events.
Yes, I do.
He likes comics about Airborne Toxic Events.
Absolutely. It's right up his alley. Make that into a book.
No, my type of music tends to be alternative. Like, I'll listen to alternative radio. And then... As far as the 80s go, I like new wave type stuff. So, and I like classic rock a lot. I really do. Like, I'll put in Journey and Foreigner and I'll like all that stuff.
It's the same band.
They're not the same band. Luke
Graham, sure?
Cheap Trick, that's the same band too, right?
There's a couple of bands from that era where like, I hear them on the radio and I go, That's all the same band, isn't it? Like,
are you killing me? They're totally different.
Not even in the slightest. This is what I never listened to it growing up. I've only ever heard it on the radio. So I don't even know what song is by what band. And I know that Journey and a few other bands from the era have similar sounds. If it isn't Don't Stop Believin', like once you get past like their biggest hit, once you get into like...
Oh, Journey's got lots of hits, dude. If
they have lots of hits. I just don't know that. Then. No, I know they have bigger hits. I just know I can't tell them apart from other bands' biggest hits from that era. What is this, Kansas?
Kansas is great too. Dust in the Wind. Oh, that's such a good
song. I know Dust in the Wind, but they have like 14 other songs that I know. But as far as I know, they could be foreign or
something. Boston.
Yeah.
I like that era of music. But 70s music, I don't like at all. Like Barb, Barb can, she'll put it on the 70s in the 60s. And I don't know if it's because my parents played certain things during that phase and it just like stayed in my head or whatever. But man, I just don't like that music. I mean, there are exceptions, but they're few and far between. I like the 50s. I like oldies.
So you're saying you don't like Santana. Got it.
I like Santana before he started teaming up, like Marvel.
Oh, like Marvel team up?
Yeah.
Like the guy from Maroon 5 and the guy from Matchbox.
You got it. Yeah.
Or Wyclef. Yeah. He went.
When England, that song, I'm winning.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I think what happened is he's like, I could spend all this time making my own albums and making so much money, or I could do one song with Wyclef and make $5 billion. This is it. I'm done.
I really like Blue Oyster Cult, and I dig Def Leppard a lot.
I don't know. It's like,
and Blink-182 and Angels and Airways plus 44. I'm addicted. It's all the same band, but
that's
it's
all the band. I do know that.
Car Racer.
I do know that's the same band.
Yeah, I'm addicted to that band. Like they just have to put something out, and they could be talking, and I'd get it. You know, I just. What y'all gonna eat today?
I don't know what I'm eating today yet, but I know that I had for dinner two nights ago was maybe three nights ago. My brain doesn't work anymore. Time is hard. Was like, I guess essentially like a loaded baked potato pizza thing.
Oh yeah, Barb showed me a picture of that. It looked really interesting.
It was great. Like you make your own pizza dough, which is what we've been doing a lot more lately with making our own pizza. It's pretty awesome. So you made your own dough and then you just make homemade mashed potatoes and you use that as the sauce, I guess, and then so you season that to whatever you want and then you put bacon on top or in cheese and you have a load of baked potato.
I would try that.
I never heard of that before.
I love pizza. I love
Claire made it up.
Those potatoes is my favorite thing, and I love bacon. So
you put all three together.
I'm not a fan of chives if you put that on, and I'm not a fan of sour cream unless it's in a twice baked potato.
Well, don't do that.
You know, if you don't like sour cream, you should put some like relish in it.
Well, it's weird. It's like the Keith thing with the mayo. Like, but I have the same sort of thing going on with, you know, like sour
cream. So as long as there's chives in it, you're okay.
I like the sour cream, like in the twice baked potato barbecue. Said that's just twice baked, but you throw a scoop of sour cream on Mexican food or anything, and I just like have a heart attack. I'm like, can you scrape it off, please?
I love sour cream.
Mm-hmm. I'm not a big sour cream person. I don't like it as a condiment. I like it in things. I don't like extra sour cream.
Oh, so. I just like it on a spoon.
Just like your eggs.
Your son likes to drink sour cream.
You like to put the yolk in the spoon and just drink.
Top it with sour cream.
Yeah.
Like sour cream.
You spilled yolk on your computer, man. That's your work computer, man. How do you explain that? Why
is keyboard? Talk to your boss. Like, what is this?
It's like it's water. It's like, why is this all sticky? Oh, it's yolk.
What's this stain?
How do you get egg yolk on your computer machine?
It's not like it's the only stain.
Oh, there's plenty of other stains.
There's other kind of stains on there that you could find.
You were reading the Gilliam Birch book. You're light. Like, well, hello. So, yeah, I had that. And there's been other foods. Work had, at work, these people came in, right? And some vendors that we work with. And to show us how much they love us, they catered lunch. But what they really did was they brought in like this big bucket of, not a bucket, they had catered plates, like the catered dish. But
you brought in buckets full of food. And...
yeah.
It's a paint bucket, and it's got all kinds of food in it.
Seriously, yeah. If you did that like at a work event, people would probably just eat from it. They wouldn't even...
They would.
If it's free, yeah. Then.
Vultures. So what happened is they brought in barbecue pork, right, pulled pork, and then yellow coleslaw and some baked beans that were kind of runny.
What's yellow coleslaw?
It's coleslaw made from mustard, which I've never had before.
I've never had that before either.
And I still haven't had it yet because I looked at it and it was bright yellow. And I said, you know what? I brought my own lunch today. I'm pretty good.
I've never heard of that. That sounds pretentious.
No.
It sounds like somebody like, hey, I'm going to put some, you know, instead of mayo, I'm going to put some mustard in there.
Yeah, I had never heard of mustard coleslaw. And so I've heard of vinegar coleslaw. I've had that.
I like
that.
Vinegar coleslaw.
Yeah. Yeah, I've never had the mustard coleslaw.
I prefer the other coleslaw though.
I don't like mayonnaise.
I like the vinegar one.
Well, Barb puts that malt vinegar on her fish, and man, it just smells.
Yeah, that's good.
Feet.
Yeah,
that's good.
It smells like feet.
No, it smells like vinegar.
I don't know. I'm still traumatized with the vinegar at the damn medical thing that my mom used to do when I was burning a fever.
Oh.
So I don't like the smell of vinegar at all. It's like.
Well, I grew up...
Because I associate it with being sick.
So my uncle used vinegar to clean everything, basically. He was a firm believer that vinegar
his
was...
His motor is the engine.
Like, he cleaned... Like, we would go out to the car, and he would get vinegar and, like, old newspaper and use it to clean the windows. And it worked. It's just that the car didn't smell like vinegar.
You know? Yeah, I don't like the smell of vinegar at all.
It was shiny. Like, the windows were awesome looking. Like, you could see right through them. Like, how did vinegar do that?
Well, Bill, when you eat your fish... Do you like drown your fish in malt vinegar, or do you just put a little bit on there, or what?
I drown my fries in it.
Oh yeah, that's
damn
good.
That ruins the damn fries, man.
No, it makes them perfect.
Oh, it's pretty good actually.
I salivate when I smell vinegar.
Well, if I run or whatever, I'll make sure to save some of my socks. And after sweaty socks, I'll just
after a day at the con.
I'll say, yeah, after the con.
Kind of heroes, you can take your shoes off. I'll be like, man, I'm getting hungry.
Let's go get some fish, Bill. Oh, let me take my socks off. Drain them in fish.
I'm a big fan of vinegar and on fish and on French fries, and it works pretty well. Bill, you like this? I had kipper this week. Kipper, yeah.
I don't know what that is. It's in a religious dish.
Yes, it's fish in a can. It's some kind of fish in a can.
For the holy high holiday.
Yeah, I gotta look up what kind of fish this was. I think it's Hold on.
I heard about your he's going on this fish cannon of fish thing.
I can't believe you got yelled at because you're searching for.
Something. I was searching for canned fish. I was just interested in. Yeah, kipper. I had smoked. Let's see. What is it? Smoked herring fillets.
Yeah. That's good.
I had some. It wasn't bad. It's one of the. I'm still at the stage with canned fish though, where I have to just eat it because my brain is rebelling again. Because you know the thing, apparently with certain new foods, it takes your body like a few times to eat it without getting sick before you will accept it as something you can have. And I'm still working through that, where I look at it and go, oh, don't want. Then I eat it, and it's pretty good. So that happened to me with oysters, too. I didn't like – or clams, one of those. I think clams, because I don't like oysters.
Well, I don't mind oysters, but I don't really get it.
I can't eat them. I can't do the thing with like the traditional way you eat them, where you open your mouth up and you just kind of slide it through.
Yeah. I can do it, but I don't really understand the point.
You don't like, yeah. My thing is, you don't taste it. Then you're just letting it go down your throat. Isn't the point of food is for it to be tasty?
That's why.
Food's supposed to taste.
I don't get it.
Hey, do you like hash browns, Bill?
Yeah.
Do you like to get like your yolky egg and cut it over the hash browns? Oh, that's so good, huh? Yeah.
Claire does that, and it. Ruining good hash browns, man.
You actually are like Barb. You like your eggs like.
I like my eggs cooked.
Cooked, yeah.
Oh, you're ruining them.
You ruined it. You don't know what you're missing until you get some sausage and eggs and you cut it right. Well, Bill doesn't like sausage, but you cut it right over your hash browns. Oh.
I can get Bill some good soy sausage.
Mix it up. Oh, man.
Soy is the weirdest shit I've ever seen. It's like they make soy everything. It's like, I'm going to make soy taste like chicken. I'm going to make it taste like fish. I'm going to make it taste like hamburger. That's just weird.
Well, I
don't know if it's healthy. making it taste like
it's not natural.
It's not natural, man.
Even though I think soybeans are actually not bad. Like the those green ones.
What
are those?
Edamame.
Imagine all the chemicals they put into it it taste like.
For certain, it depends on what it is. Because like the soy rizo, it's just the same spices they use for chorizo, they just chop the soy up and put it in there and stick it in a tube. So they're not adding anything. For certain foods, they just use the same
sort of flavors.
The same flavory.
A hamburger out of that.
That I don't know. I don't trust the ones. I don't trust.
Well, I mean,
the hamburgers
don't really taste exactly like hamburger. The ones that taste more like hamburger, I think they just put some kind of smoky flavor in there.
I think they taste like hamburger. We've been eating those garden burger things, and if you put a piece of cheese on it, it you could trick yourself.
Depends on the brand. Some brands pretty close.
What they're going for too, because I like black bean burgers. They don't taste like hamburger. It tastes like black beans and stuff. Mm-hmm. I think those are really good.
You guys are making me hungry, man.
And I'm really hungry now.
Yeah, we had.
I can change my mind about what I want to eat too. I eat some fish. Well, now I want a hamburger. Now I want
Yeah, I got a good black
some potatoes.
It was real nice.
Now I want some egg yolk. I'm not gonna. I want to lick the egg yolk off my computer keys.
Now I really want eggs and hash browns. Now
that's a good choice. That's what I had for breakfast today.
Yeah, but scramble your eggs. That's not the same. It really is not. You can ask Bill.
Easy over eggs.
Yeah. I lightly scrambled them.
Now you gotta have the yolk that just bursts out all over the hash browns.
No, it goes boom like a volcano, and it's kind of gross.
That's my favorite egg is over easy.
Me too.
Hash browns are over medium at least, so the yolk just goes over them. For some reason, yolky eggs make me fart though. I don't know.
maybe it's just
eggs in general. I don't know.
It might be eggs in general, but maybe the because you're not cooking out all this. Good stuff and eggs.
I swear to God, egg farts are not pretty.
I think that I think you eat hard or soft boiled eggs or soft boiled. I don't know. You'll have more pungent farts because it's not.
The more pungent, the tastier it was. I guess. I don't know why we lose that.
Uh oh, Micah, you lost him in.
Did I die?
Just for a second.
Well, I wasn't making any kind of salient. I wasn't making any salient points. I was just talking about egg farts. So
we missed your egg fart bit.
No, just talking about.
But I'm pumped.
Cooking out the fart chemicals in your eggs. That's all.
Sulfur? Is there sulfur or something?
It's possible. Just there's something that translates into pure methane whenever you're done with it.
Yeah, there was a time when I was a kid. My dad made so much egg salad or a devil's egg salad, the stuff that you actually hate. And as a kid, I tried it for the first time, right? So I'm I think I'm seven. I don't remember if I was seven or eight, but I liked it. And he made a whole Tupperware bowl full of it. And I ate half of it.
Oh, no.
And I swear to God, the gas that came out of me for about half weeks. It was potent. And I've never touched devil's eggs anymore.
I bet not.
Yeah, ever.
Did you clear the house out?
Oh, hell yeah. I almost killed myself.
You have to get lavender and just in your hands and just stick it on your nose underneath a dust mask if you were going to do something like that again. So you would
stick it in your butt cheeks.
I have to bleach myself. I have to drink bleach.
Kill it. Kill whatever it is inside of me.
Make it white again. So are we good?
I think we're good.
I don't. Do you know what episode we're on? Do I have to look it up?
Oh, my.
150-something.
Yeah,
156, 7.
Podcast.com. You go to geekbrudgepodcast.com and figure out what episode we're on.
157. That's what I'm doing right now.
157. That's where we're at. You're listening to Geek Brunch, episode 157. You can... An episode mostly about egg farts and Image Comics.
A lot of comics.
A lot of comics.
It's been a while.
Hours in.
Yeah.
We're backed up.
Yeah. I'm craving wings now. I don't know why. But...
that doesn't sound bad, actually.
Oh, my God. I was watching the video of the film that I did. I'm trying to get off the pot and put the videos clips together. And, yeah, we talk a lot about wings.
Oh, the video?
Yeah, when you were talking about your wings and Bill about his fish wings or whatever he ate.
Well, maybe we can get it up by HeroesCon.
That's right. Maybe within a year.
Only 1 year late.
Assuming it's from last year.
I got the...
just the 2 year ago video.
I got the... what do you call it from it? The karaoke, too.
Or oh, wow.
Yeah. That was fun.
Well, it's not bad. Not bad at all.
You did good with the Hot Chili Peppers. I like that song, too.
Well, Mike stole the show, though, so, like...
Yeah, the Divinals, it's a hit. You can't go wrong with the Divinals. I touch myself.
That is true.
Because you make yourself happy doing it.
Well, that's kind of the idea. That's kind of the idea.
Yeah, so it's a win-win situation. I mean, if nobody else likes it, you at least like it, right?
At least you had a good time.
Yeah.
Was it good for you?
It was. All right, well, we are on Twitter at Mike Myers Brunch, DBM00, and do_what? Unless you guys change your names like everybody else.
Nope, my name's staying the same. I thought about trying to get the other do what, but I'm too... There's so many issues of this.
Like, Daryl isn't even Daryl anymore. He's like Big Papa or something like
that. Well, he just changed his name. What? I think he's still the voice. He's still the voice, right? He's
still the voice, 123, but his name changed so it doesn't show up as Daryl. Which is sad, because you used to be able to go at and then type Daryl and it would...
Type Daryl and it would, yeah.
Now you have to say, oh, Big Papa. I want to call him Big Papa. But I'm Mike Myers Brunch, and like I said, I give the other DBM00. We're not changing ours, right?
No.
Underscore what?
Not between now and when this episode comes
That's
out.
That's right. Big Papa 2. what else do we got? You already
Biggest
mentioned
Papa.
Website. We're on the comic forums if you want to go by there. No, we're not.
Nope. We're on Forum for
Don't
Geeks.
Don't go there.
Forum for Geeks. Don't go to the other one.
Yeah, go to Forum for Geeks, go to DC Noise, and then go to Geek Brunch.
So we're buried well beneath DC Noise.
Yeah. Yes.
So you'll never find us.
You can find it. You can back your way out.
Or we'll put a link.
You guys haven't even signed up yet, have you?
I have signed up. I'm a member of the forums.
Yeah, I was signed up before.
Yeah, I thought like a year ago, I think. Because I couldn't remember my password at all.
I am DBM. Surprisingly enough.
I am do what? Surprisingly enough, as well. So,
I changed my name from Comic M to Mike Myers Brunch just to be consistent.
Consistency amongst is good.
Yeah. And I think that's it. Oh, Mike, Bill, and Micah at comicbooknoise.com.
Also, Mike.
Send us emails. And I better check my email because I was like, well, what did I tweet you, Bill? I said, what time are we recording? Micah hadn't answered the email yet.
Whoops.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sometimes you guys don't CC.
No, my problem is that, like, on Gmail, and this is all my fault, but I'm going to blame somebody else for it, because whatever. on Gmail, reply all isn't like the first option when there's multiple people. It's like the second option, and it should be the first option. So I want to reply to everyone, not just the whoever sent it. So I end up like sending a reply only to one person.
Oh, okay. So that's maybe why I didn't see it, and then I saw it later.
Yeah, I'm getting better at that. I'm working on it.
All righty, then. And well, have a good time at C2E2, and let us know what happens.
And enjoy the pirates who dance.
And if you could get a picture of Scioli with you, that'd be awesome.
I'll see what I can do.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be at Heroes, isn't he?
I don't know. I think that was too far for him.
Oh.
I thought I saw him on the list.
I thought I saw him at Baltimore, but... Are you guys going to Baltimore or no?
When is Baltimore?
I think it's later in the year. Like
probably not. August
or September.
No, I'll be in school.
It's a weekend, dude. You don't have to study. You could do your paper on comics.
It depends on what classes I'll have then. I'll find an excuse not to go. Don't worry.
All right. What were you going to say, Bill?
I was going to say you can leave us an iTunes review.
Yes.
And we got a new iTunes review recently, but I can't open iTunes, so I don't know who left it.
I'll wait till Monday to open it while I'm at work.
I think it was from Chris. I think his name doesn't come out as Chris Ivy, but I think it was Chris Ivy.
It was a recent one, like the last week or so.
Yeah. He left one on DC Noise, too, so.
It's exciting.
Cool.
DC Noise, I mean, iTunes is how you pay your podcasters, by letting them know you listen.
Or you can just PayPal me. I'll find a link somewhere. You can just give me money if you want.
If you don't want to leave a review, you can send us money.
Yes. Or comics.
We do accept comics. Just not absolutely. Digital comics, though.
Or Grindhouse movies. I accept those.
I'll take, like...
Especially from 70s. If you could dig up some 70s films you don't want anymore. I don't want Beta, though. I don't want... Or Laserdisc.
I will take Fish in a Can.
I mean, I'll take Kung Fu movies if you want to give them up. But
did you see Wing Chun yet?
I've seen Wing Chun before.
That's pretty good. Cotton Belly. That's what I'm going to learn.
I got a few. I found like a couple of old Kung Fu movies I'm going to watch eventually. Not old. Like from the 90s, like Super Cop.
Oh, that's Jackie Chan.
Jackie Chan and Michelle Yeoh. Yeah, yep.
I have that in VHS. I was on a Jackie Chan kick at one time. I was buying all his movies. The Drunken Master, Legend of the Drunken Master.
Yep. I love Drunken Master. Drunken Master 2.
Yeah. But you know what movie got me caught up in that was Rumble in the Bronx.
I remember that one.
Yeah.
That's a kid in a wheelchair, right?
I think so.
That's the one with the beautiful mountains of the Bronx.
All right. Well, we'll end this one and have fun.
Yeah. Everyone,
you too.
If you find a good deal on Scioli or you see something interesting that you might be able to get for me, contact me.
All right. I will... Text you.
Know. You can't text me, can you? Because I'm texting you, man.
My phone can text.
Oh, can you receive texts? You're not like Keith.
I can receive them.
You gotta get Keith a phone. You can receive them, you just don't answer them.
It's hard to answer.
Oh, you have a
flip phone.
Old flip phone.
The only reason I have a fancy phone is because it broke.
I dropped my flip phone 2 times the other day, and it's still perfectly fine.
Well, if you saw my case on my phone for my iPhone, you'd say, damn, you could drop that from 25 feet. In this
industrial case.
I dropped my phone so many times.
Everybody makes fun of my case. My brother was making fun of my case a month ago. He was like... You just ruined the look of the iPhone. He's just it is 3 times as thick and it's stupid. And you know what? A week, 2 weeks later, he broke the back. Dropped it out of his pocket. Shattered the glass parts of it in the back.
Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah. So, you know, he had a case around his phone now, and I'm like, laugh now, pretty boy. Laugh now. All right, well, I think we can end this one. This is more like our style at 3 hours and six minutes.
This is a regular Geek Brunch.
Yeah, we don't let you down when we got the full